This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
Of the world. So are you willing to accept that as your truth? So celebrate Easter. Have a wonderful Easter. We'll see you in a couple of weeks. I love you.
The following program may contain language or imagery that may be offensive to some listeners. Discretion is advised. The Federal Communications Commission permits the broadcast of some profanity during hours deemed to be safe harbor when children are less likely to be listening. KPFT upholds a stricter policy permitting the broadcast of sensitive material only between the hours of midnight and 5 a.m. The FCC forbids the broadcast of some sexual discussions or other suggestive matters regardless of the hour. If you have any questions or concerns, please call the program director during business hours at 713-526-4000. This is KPFT Houston.
Nasty. You got shotgun, my rock, freak twist, deadly twist, body clock. You hit sunset, hey rock, freak show got lit Friday night. Thrill that kill like suicide. Blow, blow, blow on your mind. You a train with a storm, come on side. Come on side. Lipstick, lenses, macho dice. Drag queens, kings, and transies. Chicks with dicks, say what you like. Whatever, tickle that fancy. Ding, ding, bangs, go-go boys. Homo thugs or panties. The shit is ripped, so cop a bit. Cause you know we'll serve it up nasty. Like this, like that. We serve it up nasty.
Nasty.
Like this, like that. We serve it up nasty.
Nasty.
Like this, like that. We serve it up nasty.
Nasty.
Like this, like that. We serve it up nasty.
Nasty.
Yeah, you want his, she want hers. Popeye's locked in the bump and grind. Whatever, whatever, rock it all right. Somebody getting murdered tonight. Thrill that kill like suicide. Blow, blow, blow in your mind. You're a straight witness to a homicide.
Homicide.
Lipstick, lenses, macho dust. Drag queens, kings, and transies. Chicks with dicks, say what you like. Whatever tickle that fancy. Gay, gay, bangs, go-go boys. Homo thugs or pansies. The shit is ripped, so cop the fifth. Cause you know we'll serve it up nasty. Like this, like this, like that. We serve it up nasty. Like this, like that. We serve it up nasty. Like that. We serve it up nasty. Like that, we serve it up nasty.
Ooh,
I love this part.
I love
it. Hey, who's that thing of those nasty thoughts? Nasty boy,
nasty girl.
Yes, who's that in that nasty car? Nasty boy,
nasty girl.
Who's that in that nasty food? Nasty boy,
nasty girl.
Who's jamming to my nasty groove? A nasty boy,
nasty girl.
What you like? What you like? Say. What you like, say? What you like, say? What you like, say? What you like? Lipstick, lenses, macho dots. Drag queens, kings, and transies. Chicks with dicks, say what you like. Whatever tickles that fancy. Gang, gang, bangs, go-go boys. Homo thugs or pansies. The shit is ripped, so cop a bit. Cause you know we'll serve it up nasty. Like this, like this, like that. We serve it up nasty.
Nasty.
Like this, like this, like that. We serve it up nasty.
Here, yo, doing big things, putting shit on wax and blazing mad trees. Deadly and Q-boy, it's fucking exploding. Volcanoes erupting, the lava is golden. Mics that we touch, the crown that we pour. If you won't let us in, we'll kick down the door. Been a long time coming, what you fucking expect? When you give us no rights and you give us no respect. Be glad what we do it with a pen. Or we go and write it down on an internet forum. You know when it's time to change the norm. Cause we all can feel the calm before the storm. No way you can deny the heat that we bring. We're rolling down the track and we're building up steam. Yo, if you wanna shine, then you need to roll with me and all of the players in my family. Come on!
You think you know me?
You think you know me?
Well, tell me that you met my family. You think you know me?
You think you know me?
Well, tell me that you met my family. You think you know me?
You think you know me?
Well, tell me that you met my family. You think you know me?
Yeah. You think you know me?
Come on.
Baby, team up and wax on each other's tracks. Gay hip-hop institution, home of revolution. Home of hop's been home to a boy like me. So please, may I introduce my US family. Home of Subject Lee, Big Nugs, Johnny D, Tori DDC, Genro BQE, Salvum XO, Say Catastrophe, Scream Club, Goddess She, and Miss Money. Plus many more coming war each and every day. We'll make it on IP rap in UK. Family's grown some since I felt lonesome. United together, we clever, shisham something. We ain't to be messed with, not to be tested. Fuck all the rest, cause you're dealing with the best kids. Cuba knocks it out like a champ in a fight. If you wanna join a fam, yo, you better be nice.
You think you know me?
You think you know me?
Well, tell me, have you met my family? You think you know me?
You think you know me?
Well, tell me, have you met my family? You think you know me?
You think you know me?
Well, tell me, have you met my family? You think you know me?
You think you know me?
Well, tell me, have you met my family?
I just slipping, napping, look what happened. Faggots coming out rapping, capping, niggas laughing, laughs, trashing, bashing back. Yes, sitting there, yeah, your pants are crapping. Open up the window, what a stench. The game on stale, we an air fresh breath. Faggots, dice, buys and trenches. Picking up the mic, putting our 2 cents. Money, dinero, cop up your ends. We come to collect like the monthly rent. Your bins and backing, put out to rest. Yeah, hip hop ain't dead, it's under new management. Milo, so gay, not lame, so dead. Straight rapping evicted. Straight rapping evicted. Straight rapping evicted.
You think you know me?
You think you know me?
Well, tell me, have you met my family? You think you know me?
You think you know me?
Well, tell me, have you met my family? You think you know me?
You think you know me?
Well, tell me, have you met my family? You think you know me?
You think you know me?
Well, tell me, have you met my family?
To the left, to the left.
Warning. The following program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
You have tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music geared to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours.
I'm Yo, yo, what up, H-Town? Little G and all the rest of the homo homies on the blue marble spinning around.
Oh, for God's sake.
Put your hands up in the air. This is After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude. On the mic tonight, I'm Fat Sonny with DJ JC.
What have you done with Chris? And who are you?
Do you think I got inspired last night or what?
God, we went to the Homo Revolution Tour.
That's why we started off with Homo Hop.
Yes.
Tonight.
Queer hip hop music done by queers. It was
queer.
Fascinating.
It was very unusual. I mean,
yeah.
You know, the setting was a little scary.
It was Club Dignity on Scott Street and 45,
and
which is primarily, I gather, a lesbian bar.
Yeah, from the pictures we saw before
for
going there.
Black women.
Yes. Black lesbian sports bar.
And their admirers.
It was an interesting show when you consider, you know, going to a hip-hop concert.
Yes.
I think the audience was mainly white.
Yeah. More than 50%.
The performers were black, Hispanic, white,
mm-hmm.
male, female, transgendered.
Yeah. And we don't know about the bisexual part. Nobody copped to that.
There was American and British, two
yes.
British performers.
Mm-hmm.
You got a little taste of one of the British performers here.
It's so
a lot of people in the audience wanted to have a better taste of one of the British performers.
Oh, yes, especially when he did that one number in his underwear. Oh, yay.
Yeah, see? Yeah.
He was circumcised, did you notice? You could tell through his shorts.
I actually, you know, the lighting was kind of bad. I couldn't tell.
And Deadly wasn't doing too bad himself. I mean, he's got quite a package there his own.
I mean, I was sitting in the chair. You kept scooching forward and leaning forward. I mean, I did feel like at the end of that number, we should have at least given them a dollar each.
I was doing that to keep the drool from falling onto my shirt.
Ah. Is that why you're leaning forward now?
No.
But no,
anyway, it was kind of weird for me, especially at my age, going to a queer hip-hop concert.
Yeah, I was going to wear baggy clothing, but I couldn't find any.
Yeah, and hell, anything I put on is baggy.
So, you know. But like I said, it was an interesting thing. Like I said, going there and, like I said, I wish there was a bigger crowd.
Oh, God, yes.
That we could have gotten there.
Yeah, it was an embarrassingly small crowd,
yeah.
as a matter of fact. Probably the smallest crowd of any of the towns that they will be in Houston. And they are playing, what, El Paso?
They played El Paso. There's two more stops left on the tour. Right
yeah.
now, they are probably wrapping up in Austin.
So to speak.
And tomorrow night, they're playing Easter Sunday in Dallas.
Yes.
I had it backwards. I thought San Antonio was the last stop, but Dallas was the,
yeah, okay.
the first stop.
And I'm sure that will be the smallest group.
Yeah,
I
didn't think I even want to ask Big Nug.
Who seemed to have quite a few fans in the audience. He is a large man, large white man from Ohio, Indiana.
No, he's Ohio.
Ohio, okay.
Well, you know, it helps when you promote the tour on your personal ads.
Yes.
That's how we found out about this, was Big Nug putting one of his music videos on his personal ad that I happened to come across.
Cute.
So to speak. I still haven't seen the music video.
Yeah. But, of course, J.D. Doyle was there.
J.D. was there.
And had already interviewed Deadly and for Queer
music,
Voices.
Queer yeah. Voices. Last week.
Yeah. And, of course, he knew several of the other artists also because that's what JD does.
Yeah.
He is the queer music guru of the world. So.
I thought you know what we started off with here tonight.
Oh, yes.
The first one we played was Nasty by Deadly.
Deadly. And he looks like this real thug, but I'm sure
Well, he is a sweetheart. Let's face it. But he does look like, you know, they've been doing these prison shows on A&E here lately. He looks like he would fit in, you know.
It looks like he's wearing a prison jumpsuit in the picture in his.
Imagine
on
that.
A CD.
But he is just a big old sweetheart.
That song Nasty is on the Homo
the
Revolution Tour CD.
What?
It's not on his CD, it's on the Homo Revolution Tour compilation CD.
Yes, we bought CDs.
Yeah.
We had to. you know, you certainly can't get them locally.
No. And you can get this one on their website, homorevolution.com.
Mm-hmm.
So we played Nasty by him. It was one he performed with Down Low, I think is who he performed it with last night. Who I thought was just some guy there taking pictures, and then all of a sudden he gets on stage.
Yes.
Some of the other ones, I'm not sure what all we can really play.
Not much.
Not much. The second one was called My Family. And that was a Big Nug with Q-Boy and Deadly.
Mm-hmm.
That's one that when we listened to it last night, it was like, because what it is, that's kind of the introduction. The first performer comes out, does a little thing, and then Big Nug Set comes on. He does a song, and then he helps introduce some of the other people by saying, you think you know me, this is the rest of my family.
Yes.
Apparently, Deadly has a version on his called My Gang, G-A-Y-N-G.
Oh, cute.
Keeping the gang
theme
in there.
I got that.
So, and we'll be playing some more of these stuff here. I know that Jimmy liked the one from Ms. Fontaine, Waving the Flag.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was good. That was very, very good.
That was a good one. And if I can, I'll have to see what I can do about JFP. We can't even say JFP's full name on the air.
No. And she is a female comedian.
No, that wasn't the comedian. That was the rapper.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
She wasn't funny.
The comedian was...
No, she wasn't funny either.
Well, then again, you know...
It was a small...
Ladies and gentlemen, let's put this in context. He thinks Nancy Ford is funny.
Stop! Anyway.
So, hey, I'm sorry. What type of comedian there gets replaced on the replaces the marquee of meat and two veggies for $4.95?
She is meat and two veggies.
Ladies and gentlemen, please remember the fat lesbian joke was made by him, not me.
And she's going to steal that for her next column, too. You can wait and see.
Oops.
Anyway, it was an interesting evening.
Yeah. Any place is B-O-Y-I. Bring your own ice.
Yeah, bring your own. They didn't have ice when we... In fact, when we got there, they weren't even open yet. Hello. And then they didn't have ice. That was bizarre.
It showed up later.
The ice?
Yeah.
Yes.
Somebody carried in six bags of ice.
In my second $2 Coke, yes. The nice surprise came at the very end. A local performer came in to perform. Miss Money.
Miss Money came in.
And I have not seen her in at least 3 or 4 years. And so I've invited her on the show. It's funny that Chris and I sat at my apartment before the show last night talking over how we're going to, you know, how After Hours is changing up and what we need to do and blah, blah, blah.
And threw it all out the window.
And yeah, and I said, okay, well, you know, let's leave the fourth Saturday open. It has been a leather segment, but... we're going to talk to different people from the different segments of the leather community. And the first thing I did was invite Miss Money for the fourth Saturday.
Yeah, you know, it's something, you know, we're going to try and change some stuff up and see what we can do and get people in here to show up.
Now, there's a movie also.
Yes, that supposedly Jimmy's in.
Yes, and now I've heard it from 3 different people now.
Now, you're not listed in the IMDb.
IMDb.
Internet Movie Database.
Oh.
I checked that earlier today. It's called Pick Up the Mic.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the, I spelled the
T-H.
Anglo way.
Yeah.
T-H-E.
It was put up by Rhino Records.
Yeah. Well, it's a documentary on queer hip-hop.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the performers that were at this and others are in here.
Yes. Years ago, one of the first queer hip-hop artists groups was called Rainbow Flava. And headed up by a little guy named Dutch Boy. He came into town. I guess it was the last time I saw Miss Money, because it was about 3 or 4 years ago. I was thinking it was a lot longer than that. But he was in town. Miss Money came up here. I was interviewing them, and I vaguely remember somebody with a camera, because they said, oh, we're going to document this, blah, 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 blah. And 4 years later, people tell me I'm in a movie.
And surprisingly, it's with his pants on.
Yes, this time.
Actually, when you said Dutch Boy, Dutch Boy's on the Dead Lease CD.
Is he now?
Yes.
Good.
Singing with on the song No Fags Allowed.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Trying to see who else.
Well, we're talking about all of this music because I forgot to bring in all of the event stuff.
So, fortunately, the rest of the calendar stuff will have to be filled in by our guest.
Yes, and maybe we should
turn on
that
the mic
right now.
Let's pick up their mics.
Okay.
Oh, you're going in there?
Yeah.
Good, those are special fish. There's that. Now I got to put his mic on now.
Hey, coming to join us.
Any reason to get out of this room?
Thank you. Let me get hooked up here, so to speak.
And for people who are listening out there who pay attention, this is the first Saturday of the month. I don't care what that bird brain thinks.
Or any bird brain.
There, and you know what bird I'm talking about.
No.
So normally it's the Colts, but they're not here. But fortunately, E. Rhesus is.
Yes.
Yippee!
Empire of the Royal Sovereign and Imperial Court of the Single Star.
Ink. Okay, good. Ink. He usually forgets ink.
Ink.
And we're glad to have you. This is, I guess, the second installment? Third installment?
Of the new reign?
Of the new reign.
Yeah, it would be the third installment.
Yes.
I think you had our emperor and empress here
one month.
And the next month you had our imperial prince and princess royale.
Yes.
Falcon and Kimberly.
Mm-hmm.
Who are listening tonight.
Hi, so. Kimberly. Hi, Falcon.
Hi to them.
So they just wanted to make sure it's not as entertaining as their segment.
Oh, no, I'm sure it will be. It's just that we were told via text message to make sure we gave a shout-out.
Oh, yes, okay. Yes,
and your titles are?
And we are the Grand Duke and Grand Duchess.
Ah, okay. Yes.
So, actually...
Well, introduce yourself.
Yes, well, I'm Scott Kagan, and...
I am Marsha Mink Gill.
Yes.
And, of course, I'm the Grand Duke, and she's the Grand Duchess.
So, and for the listeners...
You have to make that distinction.
Even though she likes to play Grand Duchess from time to time. No, what that means is that, you know, in the line of the little game we play to raise money for charity, I mean, we're sort of in there in a grand scheme of things, and we do our part and do everything that we can to help the organization help raise money.
So. And you as a couple... do things, and of course, do things separately too.
No, of course,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we say we're imperial husband and wife, but you know that's just a figure of speech. I can't stand up and say ladies. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding, honey. Oh, there goes the pencil. Y'all can't see that. I'm being stabbed, being mauled.
You two have been a couple for quite a while.
Well.
There's some history.
Yeah. We've been friends for a few years.
Yeah.
We actually...
and actually work very well together.
We have a good time.
You. We do have a good time.
Well,
And we raise a lot of bucks.
We basically both do event planning for a living, mm-hmm. So we have a lot of fun getting to do this on the side and do this some fundraising in our spare time.
Well, we get to do it the way we kind of want to, which is really not the key.
That's pretty much it, yeah. So it's a lot of fun. We've been kind of doing things together for about 3 years.
About 3 years now.
Mm-hmm. So we're very happy to be paired up together in the court this year.
We are.
So
good.
We are. We get to play again.
Yep, that's right. We get to play again and have another good year of raising a lot of money for the community and for everybody that that needs it. And
you bet.
We're thrilled to be here, Jimmy. Thank you.
Good. Arisa. And I am thrilled that Arisa is a monthly segment on the show, no matter what night you're here.
Thank you.
We'll come every week.
What was I say? You didn't know we were coming. We just said we're coming, Dan.
Yeah, we just showed up. He just gave us a funny look when we walked in the door, like, what are you doing here? In fact, I think that's exactly what Chris did say.
Did you hear the knock on the door?
And now I'm so glad.
but he did buzz us in, so,
yeah,
you know,
so
it can't be all bad.
There you go.
You're stuck, sucker. Sorry.
So tell me what the court is up to these days.
Well, of course, the court this year, our beneficiary for the year is Legacy Community Health Services.
Mm-hmm.
So we are doing our best to raise as much as we can for Legacy this year.
Mm-hmm.
A single beneficiary this year. So all the funds we raise
It's the entire umbrella.
Okay.
It's the entire umbrella. So all of their programs.
Okay.
The Emperor and Empress choose their charity every year,
mm-hmm.
and they decided to raise money for Legacy and kind of leave it to them to what programs were in need when we come around next spring to decide what the biggest need was.
Okay.
So anyway, so we've been very busy. We've been
very busy
doing shows about every weekend. Or
what do you mean about?
Yeah. Well, you know, there are a lot of shows going on in the community, but
it gives
variety to everybody that's going out and about all the time. So, you know, you can go to any bar, mm-hmm. any club, and gosh, even some coffee houses these days.
Yes.
Or art galleries and see, you know, things happening all over the place. And
a few select living rooms, you know?
Yeah, and hello. Yeah. I don't, things happen in my living room I wish didn't, but, you know, they do. It still raises money.
And we'll speak no more about
that.
That sounds
I
like
see you looking at me over there.
That sounds like something I want to know more about.
And this is why they'll never let us do the radio show again.
Oh, come on, please. Oh, I see the hands rubbing over there.
That's Chris.
Okay.
Anyway, well, we do have quite a few things going on the next month. Actually, starting tomorrow night, we've got a big Easter show over at the BRB tomorrow night.
Yes, but before you do that, I have to pay homage to my mishpucha and say happy Passover to everybody, being that we're celebrating Easter tomorrow. It is still Passover.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
So.
That is true. I already broke into the bag of Easter candy, so...
Yeah. Oh, Anyway, go ahead. Continue. I'm sorry.
From my point of view, I was raised a Catholic, and I have a Jewish husband. I don't know where to go tomorrow.
I'm actually going to church for the first time tomorrow morning.
Wow.
For Easter services. Yeah,
wow.
It should be very interesting. So, looking forward to it.
Good for you.
Or MCC.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
Okay.
They've got some special things going on tomorrow at RMCC.
Yes. Yes, they do. Yeah, it should be very interesting.
Yes.
So, it should be good. Anyway. So, and after MCC, after we go to church, after everybody goes to church, where should you be? You should be at
the Reese's Bunny Hop Show.
There you go.
That's going to be at 7 o'clock tomorrow night over at the BRB.
Mm-hmm.
It's hosted by Emperor 21 Christopher Garrett and Countess 23 Morgan Fairview. We've got some special things going on with that. We've got Easter basket raffle and a bonnet contest. The only rule to the bonnet contest is you can make it out of anything but a hat.
So you basically have to just make it from scratch.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I know. If you have a nice mixing bowl or something that you think you can make a good hat. You know, there's always things you can do. A throw pillow that has a particular egg shape or something. You know.
Okay.
Anyway, so there'll be a contest for the Easter bonnet. Most creative or most fabulous anyway.
Oh, my God.
I have mine.
Yes, Marcia has been busy with her hot glue gun.
Very, very busy with my hot glue gun this weekend.
And everything is sticky except for nails for some reason.
Yeah, I know.
Try that hot glue. Hot glue on your nails next time, yes.
Anyway, that's a benefit for Legacy, of course.
Mm-hmm.
7 o'clock tomorrow night over
and
at...
Tell me about the Easter baskets.
The Easter baskets. Well, Basically, they told us to make some Easter baskets, and we're going to raffle them off. Yeah. So we don't know what we're going to get. I'm sure they're going to be wonderful, though.
That's my kind of show.
It always gets a little competitive, yes, you know, when they ask each of the line couples to come up with something. So I know Marcia and I have been working on something.
Well, diligently.
Diligently. We've actually been working independently, and we're going to merge the pieces, after the show.
I've got the glue gun, and he's going to fill it. Well,
I've been shopping. I've been shopping, and she's been creating.
Oh, I've been gluing.
Take pictures of that. I want to see him fill that glue gun all the way up.
Yeah. Okay.
Anywho.
Anyway, that'll be tomorrow night at 7.
Yes, tomorrow night at 7. Everyone come out to the BRB after your Easter celebrations with your families. Please come on out and join us. It should be a lot of fun, a lot of really fun creativity to see the baskets, the bonnets. Yes. It should be a good time. The BRB is located on Brazos Street right behind
2400 Brazos.
Thank you very much.
Specs Liquor.
Right behind Specs. Mm-hmm. That's right. And since Specs is closed, there's plenty of parking on Sunday.
Yes.
So it's all good.
Yeah, that is good.
Then coming up next weekend, on Sunday, April 15th, Imperial Prince Royale, Mr. Falcon himself, mm-hmm. is having a birthday show.
Oh, he's an IRS baby.
Yes.
He is. He's real bitter about that, too.
He kind of is, isn't he?
Yeah, he probably got really crummy birthday presents. You know,
he always tells me that he hates having his birthday on that day because everybody's all grumpy on that day. Nobody wants to come to his party unless he has it at the post office. So.
And how old is that damn joke?
Yeah, but it's still working.
So, no, his...
You're talking about that. You're not talking about my husband.
No, I'm talking about the joke.
Because he is listening, I'm sure.
Yes, of course.
And you will pay.
Yes. Oh, I know I will. But, no, really, his big event is happening next Sunday, April 15th. It's going to be over at George Bar. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure that's 617 Fairview.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's the address.
615 Fairview, actually. Mm-hmm. Right across from Barnaby's. It starts at 6 o'clock. It's a big party. And the show will follow that at 8. So a couple hours of cocktailing and noshing and all that good stuff.
Nice.
And it is a direct benefit, or it's a benefit for Legacy Community mm-hmm. Health Services through Rain 23, the Reese's. And the next one is happening. And
the next weekend on Saturday, April 21st, Marquesa Lillian Devereaux mm-hmm. is hosting a show called Don't Rub Me the Wrong Way.
I would never do that to Lillian.
You know, I actually talked to Lillian earlier this evening.
That could be dangerous.
I was actually trying to figure out what the correct or incorrect way was. And I think.
To rub her?
Yeah, and then I really figured out I don't know that I want to know. So we just kind of moved on from there.
Oh, God, I have to keep my mouth shut so badly right now. Do you have a censorship button for Marcia May? I love you, girl.
8 seconds at a time.
Anyway, Lillian's hosting Don't Rub Me the Wrong Way Saturday, April 21st, over at Tony's Corner Pocket.
Yes.
Starting 8 o'clock. That is also a fundraiser for the Legacy Community Health Services through the rain.
Great. And stay later, and then you can watch all the little boys take the clothes off.
Yes, Lillian is the show director over there as well, mm-hmm. and does a fantastic job with our little boys.
Oh, yeah.
So pretty much this Saturday, April 21st, all about Lillian over at Tony's.
Ooh.
And then the next day on the 22nd, Countess Morgan Fairview will host the Ain't That Special, the Church Ladies Bake Sale and Revival over at George.
Oh, my.
Yes. And it's going to start at 7, mm-hmm. and we're going to have lots of baked goodies from everyone within the rain, and I'm sure throughout.
Oh, God, I love baked goodies.
And a lot of...
you should cover that one,
Jay. And a lot of a lot of blue and gray hair going on. And so it should be a lot of fun, and that's also a benefit for Legacy. Mm-hmm. So that is Sunday, April 22nd, starting at 7 p.m. over at George.
Cool. And Chris, we are accepting donation of baked goods if you'd like.
Yes, we love the Big Men's Club to
We happen to know something about the Southern Comfortable Brownies, I believe.
You took the words right out of my mouth, honey. Those bourbon brownies.
What club is that at?
That would be at
George.
George.
Mm-hmm. Oh. So maybe they won't be thrown out next time.
Next time.
They threw them out?
Yes.
Who?
And he's still bitter about it.
I can't believe it. I would have stolen them.
Where's my cattle prod?
The BRB.
The nerve. I didn't know there were any left, or I would have been over there.
Yeah, there was plenty left.
Oh.
Marsha has a big handbag.
Oh, we yeah. Shove honey, them in yeah. There. I was going to say, I always carry lots of luggage. Anytime you got those left over, just shove them in my bag. Something to do in the middle of the night.
I don't know. She's got a case of Ziploc bags in here.
It was just the irony of the open.
Oh, collecting evidence.
Hey, I watch a lot of CSI. What can I say?
You think there's something to say, sweet low and everything else in that bag?
You know.
Well,
I might be a pack rat and a bit of a yenta, but you don't have to call me out on carrying sugar sweetener packets in my band bag.
It kind of takes all the glamour out of it, doesn't
well,
it?
Well, yeah. You know. Fine.
It's Prada, nonetheless.
Here she is wearing mink and, you know, looking all, you know, just really gorgeous and everything
thank
from
you.
A show tonight. And,
thank you,
and he's calling her out on her.
Yeah, what can I say?
Sugar substitute.
Okay, where were we?
We're over at the we're following weekends.
Okay.
Everybody got to, I hope everybody's keeping good notes and taking down these dates.
Oh, yes.
And keeping,
oh, yes.
Keeping good notes on their calendar.
And if they don't, they can go to kpft.org because we are archived.
Excellent.
You can listen to this show 24 hours a day for the next month.
Or you can also go to www.eresis.org.
Now it is E as in Edward, R as in Robert, I as in...
No, it isn't. It's E as in Edward, no, R as in Robert, I as... Now she's got to be doing it.
Yeah, I got you doing it. E as in Edward, R as in Robert, S as in Sam, I as in Isaac, C as in Cat, S as in Sam, .org.
Isn't there an easy way of saying it that's E as in Empire, R as in Royal, S as in Sovereign, I as in Imperial?
That's what was going through my mind.
You know.
That's how I remember it is I sit there and go... Hit the keys going, Empire,
Royal, Sovereign, Imperial. Yes.
Yeah.
Or just go to louisweekend.com and they're at the bottom
right.
of the
list.
There you go.
There you go.
All right, where were we?
April 27th.
Friday, April 27th, our Emperor and Empress, Emperor 23 Chris Beck and Empress 23 Cheyenne mm-hmm. will be hosting A Night with the Emperor and Empress, Kicking Back with the Oldies. I think they're talking about the music.
I was going to say.
Yeah, okay.
You know, we're going to be kicked out.
Kicking back with the oldies. We're going to be over at the BRB starting at 9 p.m. And that is also a fundraiser for Legacy Community Health Services.
Mm-hmm. And keep your pencils out. Friday, May 4th, IPR 23, which is Imperial Prince Royal 23 Falcon, mm-hmm. will be hosting Anything Goes, which is a show over at Tony's Corner Pocket, starting at 8 p.m. And I guess Anything Goes means Anything Goes.
Well, after 11 on that same night, probably.
Hey, Lily is probably listening to you right now.
I actually did ask that question, whether this was an evening of Ethel Merman or he just didn't. He wanted anything. He said basically it's Anything Goes.
I say
Merman unnecessary. Okay, then on Saturday, May 5th, Count Matt. That's just Matt.
Okay.
Count Matt and Countess Morgan Fairview and Yorkie Wood will host the South of the Border show down at the Undercurrent in Galveston, which is going to be at 9 p.m.
Yorkie Wood?
Yorkie Wood.
Yorkie Wood. Yeah, I don't think you've ever met Yorkie.
I don't know
yet.
If you know Morgan and Yorkie.
Mm. Yeah.
No.
Now, they joined the court last year, and they're a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
Wonderful, wonderful folks.
So they're a couple.
Yeah.
Yes.
But they're both female.
The Imperial couple is Matt and...
Matt. Well, actually, no, we have...
We have three.
Okay. Three what?
Counts. We have a count and two countesses.
Oh.
Yes.
Is it because the two females are a couple?
No, yeah. I don't know.
No, just the way it was
sometimes it works out that way.
Yeah.
Well, they can be about anything they want to be.
Morgan usually wears for that.
Well, then I think I know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, Morgan...
This community includes three ways.
Don't I know it?
Yeah, and, you know, and considering, you know, the scorecard, we need to follow your relationship schedule.
Stop.
Quit talking about the couch.
No.
I'm down to just one lover, okay?
Just one?
No, Morgan's known for her classic interpretation of Shirley Bassey numbers.
Oh.
Yeah,
so you'd probably like her.
Oh, I would. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I know you love Shirley Bassey.
I do. I'm so queer.
You think?
Yeah. Well, she's the Barbra Streisand of England.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Okay. I never thought of her that way.
Oh, yeah. Every queer in England is like Gaga over Shirley Bassey.
That's how she got all those James Bond movies.
Yeah.
Yeah. It makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. So I was thinking about these people. So what are they doing again?
Oh,
I missed that
South
part.
Of the border.
South of the border.
And they will be south of here, down in Galveston, at the Undercurrent.
Gotcha.
Our island home away from
mm-hmm.
home.
Mm-hmm.
We try to get down there pretty often. The Undercurrent's a very good friend of Arisa's.
Yes.
And we try to get down there every so often. They've got a wonderful, wonderful place to do shows down there.
Yes, they have. If you haven't been down there, they've remodeled it. It's really,
oh,
really stunning.
Oh, I haven't seen it in a while.
It's beautiful, yeah. What they did with the stage is just amazing.
Oh,
it's really great.
Yeah.
Really great. And that starts at 9 p.m.
9 o'clock.
Cool. And then on the 11th, the following week, mm-hmm. on Friday, Marquesa Craven-Moorhead, another one of our wonderful members who raises a lot of money, will be hosting the Sock Hop show in honor of her birthday at the BRB, starting at 9 p.m.
I can imagine the outfit.
You know, Craven is just so fantastically out there. Mm. She just has got so much creativity.
Yes.
So if you want to come see a crazy 50s review, honey, you are in for a treat.
And she's going to have the most incredible costume on that she threw together a half hour before the show started, you know. She always does that.
Yeah, she's magnificent.
I sewed it this afternoon.
Took me 30 minutes.
Yeah.
The most recent one that got my attention was the one that she had made a two-piece evening gown out of a, like a rubber fireman's overall set.
It was a raincoat.
Oh,
yes,
like a raincoat.
It was a raincoat.
Yeah, she wore it tonight. I saw her
it was
in the show.
Just, I asked her about it. She says, oh, yeah, I made this afternoon. I didn't have time to get fabric.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Bright yellow.
Yeah,
and
rubber.
It's a little kind of jacket thing, you know, kind of
shrug.
Yeah,
yeah.
Is that what that
is? What that's called?
A shrug.
A shrug.
Yeah.
Who knew?
Yeah. Very talented.
Yeah. Okay.
Fashionista people.
Oh, that's back to me. Okay.
Yeah, there you go. You're next.
On Sunday.
Sunday.
I was waiting for you to do that. See, I did a Sunday up here, and you didn't do that.
I know.
So I was kind of worried.
Well,
you feeling all right? Okay. All right. Sunday, May 13th, the Imperial Mother, Barbara Walker, mm-hmm. and Shelby St. John,
is she the grandmother?
They're both Imperial Mothers. We have two. They decided that His Majesty and Her Majesty each got to have parents because it actually makes more sense that way.
Yes, it does.
You know, we've always had one set, and it's like...
That's incestuous.
A little backward there.
And Heather has two mommies. Haven't you read the book?
Heather has two mommies.
There you go.
Anyway, our Imperial Mothers, Barbara Walker and Shelby St. John, which would be Empresses...
Don't look at me.
17 and 18 or 16 and 18. I get confused. They will be hosting a Mother's Day show over at the BRB at 8 o'clock.
And Shelly and Barbara are both amazing performers.
Is that Mother's Day weekend?
That would be Mother's Day weekend.
Mother's Day weekend. Yes.
It all makes sense now?
Yeah.
Mother's Day show on
Mother's Day. Hey.
I'll be over at the BRB at 8 o'clock that night.
I will be in the woods.
In the woods.
The woods.
Yes. The PWA campout is that weekend.
Oh, yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Yes,
it is. And that's kind of the lineup so far. We're going to have more announcements. I know that Scott and I are planning a show on May 20th, which is going to be in homage of my birthday. And a few other big things coming up in the summer. We've got coming up the Peasants' Revolt and the March Revenge Weekend.
We've actually got a big weekend coming up in the first weekend in June with the Peasants' Revolt, in which all the line members are kind of challenge the monarchs. We go out, do the best job we can do on a fundraiser, and
then they see what kind of job
they'll
can do.
They'll have a monarch's revenge to try to make more than us,
and they won't.
In between, the Peasants' Revolt is on Friday night. Mm-hmm. On Saturday night will be our annual turnabout show.
Oh my goodness!
And if anybody out there listening doesn't know what turnabout is, it's basically where all of the performers,
all the boys are girls and all the girls are boys.
Exactly.
Pretty much.
So it's quite hysterical.
Well, it's more than that. It's where the male line becomes the female line, and the female line becomes the male line.
Correct.
That's less confusing.
It's much less confusing. Thank you for clarifying that, Jimmy.
There can be women and men on either side.
Absolutely.
That's true. And then on Sunday following, the monarchs, which being all of the current emperor and empress, and then anyone that's ever been an emperor and empress for years gone by, do get together, and they all try and raise money as well.
Yeah.
Successfully raise money.
And Marcia and I are the
Peasant Royale this year, which means that we get to sort of play and organize. The weekend with the monarchs.
Cool. Revolt.
Yeah,
oh, that'll be fun.
And being that their Majesty's theme this year for their reign is the Four Seasons of Camelot, we decided that our Peasant Revolt weekend and our Peasant Revolt evening will be Spamalot. So get ready for a wonderfully hysterical evening of Monty Python.
Oh my goodness!
And the like that will just absolutely knock your socks off.
We're going to have a lot of fun with it this year. It's coming up the first weekend in June. So we'll talk about that again a little later. But we're really excited about it.
Yeah. Good, you should
be a lot of fun.
Well, great.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for being here, and I'm glad you came when you did, and that other people didn't. So. I can give you all the time, you know.
Well, thank you for having us once again. We
absolutely
do enjoy coming to visit you.
We have
and Chris, work on those brownies.
Oh, gosh, Chris, what week is please.
That? The bake sale?
That's next weekend, isn't it?
No, it's the 21st.
21st.
Okay.
21st.
Yeah. We had a couple weeks.
Okay.
Yeah, plenty of time.
Yeah. Revive that recipe.
Oh, there's no. Don't need any revival, honey. If you've never had those Southern Comfort brownies.
No, I mean, I showed off the secret at the last HCC meeting when they gave me the stuff for the brownies. I walked back into Mary's to use the restroom, and I sat it down at the bar. And I said, "Well, keep an eye on this. This is the secret mix that we use."
But he
big mistake.
He adds a few other things.
I just changed one ingredient in those. You know. Well, actually two. You know,
yeah,
take out the water and put in Southern Comfort.
Well, duh.
Bag of pecans.
There you go.
Now here's something odd.
Yeah.
I had a text message here. I'm supposed to ask the cheerleader what day their show starts on.
That would be Chris.
Yeah.
What do you mean? What?
Did I get that text message?
This is still Saturday, you bird brain. Hopefully he realizes I'm speaking to him, bird. Scott screwed me up. I tried to goof me up earlier by saying his real name. It's like, okay, now, yeah, okay.
Well, thank you.
Well, thank you very much.
He's calling now. You don't want to know. You don't want to know.
He wants that stuff from my car. That's what he wants.
Well, he should have come with me then.
And he probably should have. Yes, so he could have given me the stuff from his car. And we'll let the audience worry about that.
We'll let the audience guess about that. Phone sheets are ringing.
Yeah, because I had to get the. had to get the lawnmower out the other day.
Oops.
Oh. There were all these. Y'all having borrowing lawnmower and power tools issues again.
Just the thought of, you know, we're talking about Falcon and Jimmy and talking about backseats of cars.
No.
I need to bring.
I was going to say the same thing when it came to lawnmowers and power tools.
No, Falcon has generously donated some forms, mannequin-type forms, mm-hmm. to GCAM.
Oh, excellent.
That's right. And it's just a matter of getting them out of his garage. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, so you need
your
to get...
garage. Somebody, you're...
it's our garage.
Y'all's garage.
So, in other words, you need to get dummies from Falcon.
I just
somebody contact the Department of Redundancy Department.
I just once would like to get a car in the garage.
Stop.
Between the
especially on a cold rainy night.
Between the court, the misfits, GCAM, the cold.
I know.
You know, the garage is basically a warehouse.
it's a new thrift store. It's a new charitable drop box.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, now he's answered. Now he has to answer the phone.
I know you have more music.
I pulled up Tori Fix.
Good.
Who we also saw last night.
Yes.
Since you didn't bring the new CDs.
No, I didn't.
I brought one of the old, pulled up one of the old ones, and we're going to play Marry Me.
Oh, good. That's one song he didn't do last night.
And coming up next is Hatch.
Yes.
Later for the president, later for society. You marry me later for the politics, religious folks and hypocrites. Loving you is all I need, baby. Won't you marry me?
Now I'll be damned if I have to hesitate on saying I do, because the public won't acknowledge my love for you. They ain't slanging no checks from under this roof right here. You don't hear me though. I promise you to do the best I can. I'm on both knees asking you to be your man. I'm talking wedding dance, diamond rings and things that bling. A ceremony held that it goes for a long way. Because
I know you're here too. One really wanna give my life to. The one I wanna give my life to.
Folks don't understand. To tell the truth, I could really give less than a damn. And any relative that ain't relative to us will object to our union and invitation. No matter, as long as we got the rings and best man, true family and good friends. Oh yeah, and one more correction: you won't be my lover anymore. You'll be my husband, a wife.
I respect. It's
the one who really wanna give my life to you.
The one who wanna give my life to you.
Thank you.
Fix with Marry Me, one of the artists on the Homo Revolution Tour, who was here in Houston. I'm almost interested enough to drive up to Dallas for tomorrow night's show. But unfortunately, my traditional Easter song that I play, Jimmy didn't bring the CD. I need that really gospel-y song to play right now tonight to redeem myself for the other music I'm playing.
Yeah, well, you know.
Yes. And since this is the first Saturday of the month, bird brain, it's... All right, I'll wait till they finish talking amongst themselves. It's Hatch. Your mics are on.
Woohoo.
Hello. Welcome to the Hatch segment of the night.
You need help with your makeup.
I know.
At KPFT, Radio Pacifica. Before we get started, I'd like to give you all a couple lines. The Hatch phone number, which is 713-529-3590. And then you can also reach us at our website, www.hatchyouth.org. Which you can use that to see our events, and hey, actually a movie list is on it too. And then we finally got the, if you can't get them and you really desperately need a, someone to talk to or help, we got the Gay and Lesbian Switchboard Houston, which is 713-529-3211, which is a great place to come. Definitely is. Or, no, I mean to call, sorry. My mistake. So, this is the Hatch segment, and we're going to go around and state our names, starting with Miss Person with Purple on her head.
Oh, hello. I'm Michelle.
State your age?
Oh, I'm 19. Amber, 19.
Madison, 20.
And I'm Brendan, the adult facilitator for Hatch.
And you're, and how old are you?
80.
And are you single?
I'm in my 30s still. Just barely, but still in my 30s.
At least that's what he says.
Ah, he's still young. Young at heart anyway.
I don't know. I thought he was like 10.
Yeah, no.
Maybe mentally.
Well, 13, yeah, because you got to be right. Older than 13
if
to be on the head.
If you shave, you could be a Gerber baby.
Wow. That's interesting.
Baby face.
So
I do have a baby. Do I have a baby face?
Yeah, a little one.
Our idea for the topic tonight, well, we were thinking about earlier today. Tomorrow, or today, well, it's Easter, okay? We'll just
it's
say
Easter
that.
It's Easter weekend.
It's Easter weekend. And
it's Holy Week.
Oh,
my. Nah, let's not get on that. Not everybody's holy this week. I can tell you that
I have
much.
A hole in my pants. Does that count?
Let's not joke around like that. We took in... I'm not Catholic either. We were at a friend's house tonight, and maybe they're listening. Hi, if you're listening, you'll know who we are. And so we started dyeing eggs. And what's funny was we started realizing it kind of made a tradition, I guess, out of it, if you think about it.
I know. I have a new one.
Yeah. We and the tradition is we dye the eggs as friends, but we ended up starting another tradition along with that that came with dyeing the eggs. So, Michelle, would you like to talk about that tradition we did tonight?
I like to finger paint, and dye is the next best thing. Unfortunately, it doesn't wash off. So, paint your face next time. It's a lot of fun.
She has loser written. With
war paint. I have war paint.
She has loser written across the forehead in purple with the food coloring.
That's with the leftover dye from the Easter eggs.
And war paint all over her face. Very beautiful. You should see it.
So I think I'm hot.
Now you got some craft hobbies you can do. I think I'm going to start doing it next year.
I think it's a great tradition to keep alive.
And we can keep it alive.
By doing it once every year.
Yeah, see? But it's a tradition. So, the first thing we were going to talk about, family traditions. And so, I decided to see what you might do for your Easter tradition. Michelle? Loser? However you want to say it.
What is the question?
Sorry. What do you do for an Easter tradition?
Sleep in. When I was a kid, it was basically wake up around 2 and open up the Easter baskets. I'm like, yay, the bunny was here.
And then my dad. Afternoon?
Yeah.
When you were a kid?
Yeah.
It was Sunday. It was never past 6 o'clock in the morning.
We didn't go to church. That's when it's all full. So, and that was it. That was all I remember, really. Opening an Easter basket. Amber?
Let's see. We stopped celebrating Easter around, like, when I was 10. But before, we would... Any holiday, me and my brother would get up early. But I remember being young and... Like, I'd wake up, and there'd be Easter eggs hidden in my room and all over the house. And so before me and my brother would go wake up my parents to do the Easter egg hunt, we'd cheat and, you know, look around the house, skim around. And then we'd go and jump on my parents' bed, wake them up, do the Easter egg hunt, then do our baskets and whatever. That's all I really remember doing. And, you know, the day before or whatever, dye Easter eggs, you know, dyeing eggs. Part of Easter.
See, I had never dyed eggs before, so I wasn't sure.
No wonder you had it all over you.
Jeez, I fuck a 3-year-old.
She turned into a multicolored Smurf today.
She's an Easter egg in herself.
Yes.
Yeah, I am. What about you, Maddie? What was your family tradition for Easter?
Oh, my family tradition was hell. Let's see. Up at 7 in the morning. Shower by 7:15. Eat by 7:30. Go to church by 8. Even though church didn't actually start till 10. We were just there. Sunday school that day. That was fun. And then we'd go to church, listen to the preacher, rain and rave, see the little passion play they threw on. Okay, I was 9. I just wanted to get home and eat candy and look for eggs. So... Finally, church let out. And before we can get home and look for eggs, and then it's time to go meet the family and eat out. Ooh, that was fun. You hear everybody talking about the day and stuff, and everybody talking about different Bible or historical verses. I mean, geez, at 8 or 9 years old, I just wanted candy. So we did all that, and finally we get home and everything, and it's time to look for Easter eggs and stuff. By the time we get home, all the neighborhood dogs have ate all the eggs that they hid the night before. So there wasn't anything to find.
The night before?
They hid it at midnight the night before.
Ew. I would think that the egg would go bad.
That's when you die them. The night before.
Well, what you do is you dye the Easter eggs, you boil them or whatever, and then you dye them, and then you hide them. The parents are supposed to act as Easter bunny and hide them while the kids are sleeping, and the kids are supposed to wake up in the morning and look for them. But they're supposed to do it in the morning.
Yeah, the morning, but the night before.
No, the night before, you dye the eggs and have them boiled, so it's already all night.
Right, but you don't hide them that night, do you?
No, they hid them about midnight. They would hide them.
Yeah, you hide them in between midnight and 2 in the morning.
I don't agree with that part.
Well, that's just what my family
did.
I'm
new to the whole dyeing eggs thing. I would assume you'd stick them in the fridge, and then you, the parent, would wake up about 2 hours before the child and hide them, then go back to bed and wait for them to... waking you up. Early.
We found the egg shells. They were everywhere, and we'd find the neighborhood dogs either poisoned to death from the dye or choking on them. One of the two. And so we never got them. And even then, we were lucky if they threw a few plastic eggs around with candy and stuff in them, or maybe 50 cents. And so, really, it wasn't that fun. And then it was just potato salad and brisket in the afternoon. And then I went to bed saying, dang, I wish Christmas would be back.
I need to step in real quick and let everyone know that you're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude on listener-sponsored, commercial-free, Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org.
Thank you.
Woohoo.
I had to do something legal.
No, I know. I was just waiting.
Woohoo.
Another thing. Score.
No, Maddie. No.
Do you have like a Easter tradition, Brendan?
Geez, let's see. I guess my parents, I don't know, they would hide eggs, but they would hide the plastic eggs. And then we would, after we'd find the plastic eggs, then we would have the the real boiled eggs that are decorated. She'd just give them to us from out of the refrigerator.
There you go.
So my parents were, I don't know, I guess cautious when it came to that. That's why I was amazed that yours would hide them at night.
Plus, you can reuse the plastic
eggs. Yeah, you can. You can.
My parents only hid the real eggs inside.
Oh yeah, you said that. You said that. We would. We grew up in the country, so we would. They would be outside and all over the place, in the field, wherever. So that was kind of fun. When my nieces were growing up, one thing I liked to do is I would hollow out a real egg, and depending on how old they were, I'd put either $5, $10, $20 in the egg and cover it with gold glitter. That would be the gold egg. So that was something that I personally did. And
of course, you had to bring glitter into it.
Well, yeah. It was the golden egg. You
the
know,
fairy glitter stuff.
Glitter, you know, a little bit of the gay influence, perhaps.
Why does it have to be gay?
Well, the glitter, the gold glitter, and
the money.
Yeah. Nobody said the bunny was a gay icon. The tooth fairy, maybe, but
well, I think it was just my part of the gay flair gene that I did get. So you know, I hit the little golden Easter egg. So that was one little thing that I added to the family tradition.
How do you hollow out an egg?
You stick holes in both sides and you blow it out.
Okay, after you hard boil.
When it's wet.
When it's wet.
You just take a little light needle and you kind of hammer it in. And
You want them to be pretty big holes because it's kind of has a strange viscosity to it, little eggs. So it's thick.
That's how you make confetti eggs.
I'm about to get into that. Best
but they only
hollow confetti
it.
They
only put one hole in it, not two.
Well, that's because
you have to blow it
over.
Out. Unless you're, I mean, if you put one hole in it, I guess you could suck out the yolk. But that'd be kind of gross.
Well, with the confetti eggs, the hole's big enough, they just turn the egg over and it falls out.
Oh, okay. I guess it depends on the hole, the size of the hole.
But you're right.
I guess that would have been an easier way to do it.
Just my look. I wouldn't suck the egg out. I'd suck the whole egg. What's wrong? I just sucked the whole egg in.
I was making eggs this morning, and I cracked one egg, and the yolk just kind of popped out of the shell and into the stove top. So I was like, well, it's hot. What do I do? My friend goes, turn it off. It's okay. We'll cool it. We'll clean it. And I was just freaking out. I was like, and a yolk has never popped out from me before, I guess, and you know, I've not used the type of stovetop I was cooking with, so I thought the whole place had burned down.
What kind of stovetop was it?
The kind that you can take off and like clean in.
Electric gas.
Electric gas.
Gas.
It could have been
it's
either.
Like the kind
it's
I
like
have.
A yes, but it's it gas. Doesn't gas. It's not gas. It doesn't like it's electric, but you can take the thing off.
Okay.
I don't know how to explain it.
It has little metal prongs on it. On one end, it has little metal prongs where you just slide them back in.
Doing your fingers like this, you know, my mind goes right into the gutter.
I got distracted, Maddie. I'm sorry.
Jeez.
My mind's never really there.
I feel sad. Too bad we couldn't get more hatchlings to show up. Then we wouldn't just have the two-finger gutter talk.
Yeah, except for I used these two, not these two. Just kidding.
I'm done.
So, we got the Easter traditions. Does anybody got maybe any Good Friday traditions?
What's Good Friday?
That's just, you know, before I was 10, before I was too old to Easter egg hunt, too old to do all that. Because my parents, you know, believe after the age of 10, you're older. You're too old for all these stupid, you know, little childish things. So I'd go over, next block over to my friend Christy's house, and her mom and her aunt would hide eggs for us, because they believe you're never too old.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, and then, you know, we lost a whole bunch of eggs during that, because they don't keep track of where they put their eggs. I think one year we lost about 20 eggs.
Well, a couple of years later, you'll find an egg and be like, hey!
They didn't hide their eggs in their house, did they?
No.
This house?
Because that wouldn't be a good thing to lose an egg in a house. That would be...
Well, we used... Over there, we'd use plastic eggs.
Okay.
And just
they wouldn't put anything in them most of the time. So,
but oddly enough, we would have. I think we would normally have brisket on Easter.
See, that's what I mean. It's Easter's the one month I think people just have brisket usually on that day.
I remember just a lot of fighting.
Me too.
That's something that's true every year with my family. We fight about something.
On Easter or just family get-togethers?
Easter and Christmas. Those are the two biggest ones.
Yeah, we sometimes fought at Christmas too.
We try to keep down on Christmas because it's, well, Christmas.
Right.
That don't make it any special.
But my family does.
We would play board games. That was the big tradition in my family. When all the family would get together for holidays, we would do the holiday thing, and then the rest of the day would be spent on board games. It was a nice tradition.
When my when we had a lot of family over, my dad would always break out the Triopoly.
What?
It was Monopoly with three levels, and he always got excited about it. So he'd be like, "Yeah, let's play Triopoly." The one year, once in a year. We'd play it. Everybody would hate it because it's like three times Monopoly.
And Monopoly's
three times the hate.
Bad enough.
That could be why we fought so much.
I could too.
Now that I think about it.
Oh, I would have fought over that. I would fight over just what the heck it is. Okay, what else? I had an idea and I lost my train of thought.
Well, for Christmas, did y'all have turkey or ham?
Both.
Ah.
Depends on what
and that depends on what was left over from Thanksgiving. If we had a lot of ham left over from Thanksgiving that was frozen, then we had more ham than a little bit of turkey.
What my family would do is we'd have either ham or turkey on Thanksgiving. And then, well, this is what we do now. Ham and turkey on Thanksgiving, and then whatever we didn't eat Thanksgiving, we'd have on Christmas. But when my grandmother was still alive, we'd just go over there. Or my aunt every year would cook Thanksgiving dinner, so we'd go over there for Thanksgiving, and for Christmas we'd go to my grandmother's. And then, you know, after she died, that kind of family just stopped getting together for the most part, except for like once a year, which was family reunions. And really and truly that's even died out, so I don't know.
So, do any of y'all just have, like, one tradition y'all do with a certain family member or something every year? Just one actual tradition?
Well, freshman year, I know Thanksgiving Day, most boring day of the year. So, Harry Potter just come out that year, the first one. And it was Thanksgiving. It was playing in the movie theaters. I'm like, hey, Dad, I know you want to see it. You've read the book. Let's go. And so, every year, me and my dad on Thanksgiving Day, before we eat, we'll go and watch a movie. Because there's been more than one year that it was playing at the movie theaters on Thanksgiving, but
occasionally during the summer too, it's come out.
Yeah, but we only go to the movies. Me and him only spend time together, just me and him really, on Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah.
And that's the tradition I've kept alive that I'm going to continue to try and keep alive. So, I don't know.
Did anyone come from a divorced family?
I did.
My parents are still married, but they're more divorced than they are married. Mm. They still live together, but different parts of the house. Mm. They don't really spend time together. Mm.
What for Madison, for you, did you have to divide your holidays up?
Yeah, until I finally had a follow with my mother and just stuck with all my holidays mainly with my dad. But when I got to, like, for the first 13 years, yeah, I pretty much, it was Christmas with dad and Thanksgiving with mom, and then the next year it would alternate. And then when I reached about 13, I pretty much could choose and everything. They cared, but I would choose. Majority was with my dad, but sometimes I would choose to have with my mother. Like, I know the very first year she got remarried, I told my dad, I said, I'm sorry, but I would like to spend Christmas with them in their first year as a small family. Now I could care less and whatever, but I figured that'd be nice, because now me and my mom don't get along and everything. But I realized that I had just as much of Thanksgiving or Christmas at either house. It, they almost kept the tradition alive. And for my mother, I know our biggest thing when me and my dad and my mother were together was on Christmas, my mom would make a huge breakfast. Scrambled eggs, fried eggs, waffles, toast, bacon, sausage, pancakes, biscuits, you name it, we pretty much had it. Except English muffins, but whatever. And she would make that, and you could pile up. And this was for four people. And we had that. Now, the few times I've had Christmas with her, she still does that. And I think that's one of the traditions that, even though my mom can't cook as good anymore, is one that I still don't mind having. So if I do go over to Christmas, which may be a few years from now, I'm going to tell her, where's breakfast?
She said it right that time. Sorry.
What?
Breakfast. Me. Sorry, I don't know what breakfast is.
I'm sorry, jeez.
Everybody has an accent.
Some people say sandwich.
Guess it. Leave my sandwich alone. It's better than Tigger or when trying to say Tigger. I need to ask you.
Have you ever heard me pronounce New York? Please.
What? Nork?
Pronounce New York again?
New York.
Nork?
But you're from New York, aren't you?
But we invariably, you remove letters from a word and add ones that were never there.
So New York, right?
New York.
New York.
New York.
O-R becomes A-W. New York. To anybody who's actually from
New York. Now I have the urge to go to New York. New York is such a fun place.
It almost sounds like there's a whole new city named New York.
It's kind of like Houston Street?
Yeah, like Houston Street.
I hate that. It's Houston.
It's Houston, I'm sorry. New York, it's not.
Funny story, we went up to New York. Me and my dad, we had just went up there from Houston. We're on the freaking tour bus going through New York. And the tour guide's talking, and we're there. It's me and my dad and my grandpa, who lives up in that area. And we just going along, we come from that street. And the tour guide says, well, I'm going to tell you a story. This street right here is called Houston, and you know, you get these people in Texas that think they know how to spell it right, and they say Houston, but it's really Houston. Me and my dad both at the same time stood up and said, lady, you're wrong. It's Houston. She goes, well, how would y'all know? We're like, because we live there. And we're like, she's like, no, you're wrong. We're like, I'm sorry. It's Houston? And that's the way it all is. She goes, well, you're not from Texas. And my grandpa said, lady, you're New York. You can't tell by their accent that they're not from here and everything. And she said, oh, I'm sorry. And everybody was laughing.
You know, right now they're making a big deal about how cold it is for this Easter weekend and how very unusual that is here. I remember an Easter back home when it snowed. And I mean snow that stuck.
I've only seen snow once that stuck. And that was
a few years ago.
Christmas of 04.
But Merlin, you still remember when the Ten Commandments
Watch
happened.
Merlin is not old.
Watch it.
He
if
is
you
want to
get any older, watch it.
If you want to live to see your 21st birthday, I'd watch it.
I'm sorry. You okay, Brendan?
Yes, I'm just fine. Thank you very much.
Why don't we take a little music break at this moment, and we will be back in a second with Hatch.
My flu. I got fever, got a girl, I need ya. I got fire running through my veins. Baby, hurt me, don't you desert me. I need you to hurt me, bring the pain. You wanna get it, but can you take it? Baby, shake it, I shake it, but don't break it. I know that you're dangerous when you're naked. It's not a simple kiss. You wanna get it, but can you take it? Baby, shake it, but don't break it. I know that you're dangerous when you're naked. It's not a simple kiss. Shake your body rough, move your hips low. You make me crazy, but you just don't know. Whip it up, take it down. The power to be upside down.
Don't you stand
and
shake your
head. Yeah. You give me fever like a velvet fire. We'll keep it going and I'll take you higher. You burn me up with a toxic desire. Get up, get on, and feel the fire.
You wanna get it, but can you take it? Baby, shake it, but don't break it. I know that you're dangerous when you're naked.
See, that was...
What was that?
That's Jim Varavos.
Oh.
Now, he's one from American Idol that sucks in a different way.
Yes. He sucks in a good way. Yes.
Yes.
Is he pretty?
Yes.
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh yeah!
Oh yeah!
He didn't look that way when he was on American Idol. Apparently, he got a good makeover.
He got a Hollywood makeover, huh?
Yeah, and like I said, you know, if you go to his website, he shaves on the website.
Mm. Under his arms?
Yeah.
Maybe just drag.
That face he could do drag.
Yes, he could.
He's got a pretty face.
Wouldn't have to need that. Not a long jump.
All right.
We are back with Hatch.
We're back with Hatch.
Welcome back to the Hatch segment. We were speaking of tradition a few minutes ago, and we were thinking about it, and you know what? We got a big tradition coming up here June 8th, actually. It's the Hatch Prom, Alternative Prom, and everything. Where you can bring whoever you want and everything. You can dress in a tux, formal gown, and we're talking about the girls can dress in the tuxes and the guys, if you want, the formal gowns. Or if you're trans, formal gowns.
I've never been to a prom, high school, or Hatch. What should I be expecting with Hatch prom?
Okay.
Is there anything majorly different, like not seen in the movies that I've...
Hatch prom is less uptight about everything. It's less formal, really and truly, as to where high school prom, you definitely have to get... tuxes, dresses, limos, dinner, all that. As for Hatch Prom, go, have fun, you know, do dirty dancing, not have to really worry about, you know, an adult coming up to you and being like, no, you can't do that, pretty much.
But it can be as formal as all that, if that's what you want to make it.
Okay.
But it doesn't have to be.
It's however you want to go, pretty much.
So if I want to dress up like a fairy?
Yeah, and that will totally, will kind of work, because this year's prom theme is Stairway to Heaven. So...
And we've had fairies. We've had several fairies at the Hatch Prom before.
Well, look at where we are.
I bought a pair of fairy wings a couple of months ago, and I need to get some use out of them, so...
You could definitely do that.
I might, like, throw white sheets on them then and be an angel.
There you go.
It doesn't have to be that elaborate.
You'd work more as a devil.
I know. I want to go to Hatch Prom, because this will be my first prom. And I think I actually never went to my junior or senior prom.
You had a junior prom?
Well, there was one, but I never went. And mine was, I wanted, well, the juniors sponsored the seniors every year for their prom. And so every year the juniors would host it, fundraise, which would sponsor the prom that year. And it would just keep going up. And I'm going probably in my 92 Dodge Dakota muddy tires truck in a summer dress. I mean, it's not too formal, but at least it's going to give me something nice.
Are you talking about Hatch Prom this year?
Yeah. Not high school. But that's going to give me just my little place and everything to feel comfortable and everything.
Also,
but,
sorry.
Is there an age restriction? Do you have to be a hatchling?
Hatch Prom, how it works.
There's actually.
I was getting.
Well, no, but.
If you're over, if you're 21 and over, you pay the.
Yes, there's an amount you pay to get in. It's part of a fundraiser, to a certain degree.
Mm-hmm.
For
right.
Hatch. So if you're, we try to encourage hatchlings who have moved on, who've aged out, and to come. This is a good time for them to come back and kind of reconnect with the group and kind of see how Hatch is progressing and the new faces. So, anyone who's been a part of Hatch in the past, we definitely want you to come back to prom, and you also can help support the organization that way. But also, mm-hmm. people in the community, if they want to come out and they can make a donation to Hatch. Usually, it's $25. I don't know what the set amount
right
is
now.
This
it's
year.
Still $25. If it changes, we'll let you know next radio show.
Yeah, and we encourage people to give more than that too, because the money we bring in from Hatch goes to support the programs that you guys participate in throughout the year.
Cool, sweet, awesome.
And as one of the new co-president of Hatch, I'd like to invite an invite to the community to come and enjoy the Hatch. That's just my personal invite to come have a good time. And if you might not have had a prom or something, have your own little queer alternative prom. Bring your boyfriend. Bring your girlfriend.
You know, we've had a lot of
bring your mother.
We've had a lot of adults who volunteer for Hatch and volunteer for the prom outside of the organization that really take the moment to relive their prom moment with the person they love, to bring someone that they're dating or someone they're in a relationship with, and kind of to relive that. And we have a lot of adults who do that, which I think is kind of cool. But it doesn't take away from the fact that it's a youth-driven event. It's about the youth, about active Hatch members. So it's about you guys being able to bring whoever you want. And does anyone have a date for Hatch this year?
Yep.
Who are you bringing?
My girlfriend.
Great. Were you able to do that at your high school that you went to?
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, I wasn't dating anyone, so I just brought one of my friends. But I went in a tux, so I was kind of uncomfortable. Because I was one of the only other girls there in a tux. There was one other person, one other girl in a tux there at my prom. Because everyone else who was out either didn't go or they went in dresses. So it was kind of awkward for me. But to have her, the girl I brought or took with me was supposed to graduate with us. But she had dropped out, so she... You know, when I took her, you know, she got to be with all her friends, which were also my friends, so.
That's great.
It made it better. But I didn't really have much fun at my high school prom.
What is that?
It was lame.
Did you have fun at Hatch Prom?
Hatch Prom, I had a blast. I mean, it was way laid back compared to what high school prom was. And just, it was really different, really, because, you know, for one, you didn't have to get as dressed up. You didn't have to worry about dinner. You didn't have to worry about limos. I mean, you could if you wanted to. If you wanted to make it this huge thing, you could. But you didn't have to.
It's not required. And you don't have to come all formally dressed. You can wear blue jeans and a shirt.
Right.
Which would be what? The redneck tux? Blue jeans and a white
shirt? That's
what
you can do. And it's not really required. But it's just a good way to start off and spend your time. And
if there's any youth listening right now and they're not a part of Hatch, can they still come to the Hatch Prom?
Yes.
As long as they're 13, right?
13 to 21. or the 20 can come and they'll be considered head cheap and don't have to pay. After 21, you'll have to pay. Older than 21.
So everyone who's under 21, over 13, can come to this event free?
Pretty much, yes. And if you're over 21, please don't try to sneak your way in either.
Well, you can pay. You can pay at the door and get in.
Yes. Just pay the $25, and it's a donation. It's a good cause. I mean, it helps. Like, when I first came to Hatch, we went out ice skating, in fact, and that was paid with some of the money left over from the prom. And that was fun. Just a little bit, just donation fundraised.
Right. And if there are any adults listening out there and you don't plan on going to the Hatch Prom, but you'd like to support the organization, you can certainly do that.
Yeah. So the money does go to help everybody.
And there's a king and queen and a
prince and princess.
Yeah.
And it was four guys last year. So.
You know what? Now that they're on that topic, that's one thing that I kind of have an issue.
No, you cannot be queen.
No, I don't want to be queen. But I do have an issue about that. I'm just wondering what you guys think. Because in the past, we've had girls who are king and we have had boys that are queen, which is fine. But sometimes we get a year where guys will get all four of the positions.
Which was last
year. King, queen, prince, or princess. I think that's a little sexist.
Well, it's because we do nominations. And then we do ballots at, like, we do nominations, I think, the week before. Or maybe the night before, I'm not sure. And then we do ballots when you walk in the door.
Right.
Anyways, that's what we did last year. I don't know.
The nominations are going to be throughout the month of May.
Does a girl have to be king or prince and the guy has
to
be? No. It can be any. It's whatever gets voted on. I want to be queen, but.
I think there's good and bad with that. Hatch allows you to identify however you want. If you are biologically one thing, but you identify as another, the Hatch is fine with you identifying with however you want to identify. And I think that's great. But I think it's unfair sometimes that one sex can sweep all the court.
Yeah. But it's just how people voted last year.
Right.
And the years previous.
What also makes it fair is that... are you finished, Amber?
Yeah.
Is that whoever was prom prince, king, queen, and princess from last year cannot be prom king, prince, and princess this
year.
No,
that's not true. They can. They just can't be what they were the year before.
Right. So last year's king can be this year's prince.
Exactly. Or princess or queen. They can be anything. Yes, Maddie, I was there.
I got the steering committee manual. It says
you
cannot be a part of the court.
That's not true. You read it wrong.
I can tell you, in the past, we've had people who have...
You cannot be the same thing twice in a row.
That manual is also much older than the steering committee is, so... Well, the new one. It might have been revised.
No, it hasn't.
And the manual has...
I might have read it wrong. I'm not going to sit here and argue or something that I might have read wrong, and if I did, I'm not going to sit here and debate over it, you know?
Yeah. But it's... You can be, as like, say you were queen last year. You cannot be queen this year. You can be any of the other three as long as you're not queen.
The other good thing about being on the court is during our pride parade, the court gets to wear their crowns or take their scepter. And there's an acknowledgement that this is the court for that particular prom.
That's fun.
Yeah.
It's
kind of fun.
When is pride this year?
The last Saturday in June, right?
Yeah. June.
It's for this year, it's still the last Saturday in June, and it's still in the Montrose.
Well, yeah.
Hopefully it stays like that.
What?
I think it's going to stay because they're going to have a bunch
June 23rd?
Oh, hold on. We're double checking here.
Don't take this the wrong way, but you know what? The whole pride's based around Stonewall, and if they move it from Montrose, Houston's going to have a new Stonewall going on, I think. But that's just my opinion. We're going to have the Stone Montrose ride.
We're double checking here.
June 23rd?
It's the fourth Saturday.
What is it? Five Saturdays in June.
Okay, yeah, I'm sorry. It's the fourth. It's June 23rd.
Sorry about that. Normally it's the last Saturday of the month, but Not this month because we got five.
Yeah, but there's five Saturdays in June this year, and yeah. They didn't want to use the last Saturday because that runs too close to the 4th of July.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
Ooh. Yeah. So they're making it the 23rd.
That's awesome.
Which is, there's normally four anyway, so it makes sense.
Yeah.
So, are any of you guys planning on running for a court?
I think I want to.
I do.
Really? Good for you.
Yeah, I either want to be king or prince. You know.
Choose to run? Like,
you get to nominate yourself.
This is, again, new to everything here.
It doesn't mean you're going to get it. That's still decided prom night, but it's not going to mean I ain't going to put my name in.
It's nominations. You nominate yourself, or for the most part, or someone else can nominate you. But
Michelle,
if you don't
I'll nominate you. You can nominate Amber and Amber.
Okay.
But, yeah, I mean...
Do you have to be at prom if you are nominated?
No. It's preferred.
I can see why it's preferred.
It would be nice if you were there.
I'm still debating if I'm going to go.
I think you should.
You know, the crowds are really nice. I mean, these are really nice drag queen type of crowds that you get. I mean, they're really pretty. Oh, well, in the past, they've been very nice
girls. I think the queen and king are, for sure. The prince and princesses, not really.
Can I make the crowns? That way I can purify them and donate them to Hatch or something? Is that allowed?
No.
Mm-hmm. Well, in the past, they've been really, really nice.
Yeah.
Every king and queen must have their bling.
Bling, bling.
It's true.
Just as long as we don't go around giving... Everybody, I don't know what I'm going to say. Okay, bro.
What is this year's Pride theme?
Pride
Stairway
theme?
To Heaven?
Lone Star.
Lone Star Pride.
Lone Star Pride, yeah.
Huh. Which we're actually doing our thing based on our Pride. It's going to be based on that. And if you'd like to help out or be a part of Pride, all you got to do is come to a Hatch meeting or... talk to Hatch, because we're having regular meetings right before Hatch for Prime and Pride, too, if you're just coming.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. If you want to walk with Hatch during the Pride Parade, you can do that if you're a youth between the ages of 13 and 21 and not necessarily be a part of Hatch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just
so that's the other thing that it opens up that you're able to do. And if I'm not mistaken, over the past however many years I've been involved, we get 30-40% of the people, the youth that come to our prom, aren't regulars for Hatch.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So a good group of youth come to this, and it may be their only Hatch event for the year is Hatch Prom.
Yeah.
So the word's gotten out about it, and I think that's nice.
That's good.
I think you should come any time to a Hatch meeting. It's fun and awesome, but even if you just come to prom, it gives you that one opportunity to be yourself no matter what you're doing. You may be at the high school jock and everything at your school, you come in a pink flowery tutu.
It's no one judges.
That's right.
Well,
I would. I think it's hot, so...
Or you can be the choir girl at school and come in a nice chocolate Elvis-looking tux.
Hell yeah.
I would so do that.
With bell bottoms.
Just so do that.
It's whatever you want. And we do get a lot of youth from the Hatch Prom. They'll come there for that reason. And,
or that's the first event they've ever heard of before they've even heard of Hatch itself.
Right.
And then after that, that's when they start going to Hatch.
Right. The reputation of the prom has grown quite a bit, and the word's gotten out, which is great. And I'm sure this radio program helps with that. The station helps get the word out about Hatch Prom.
Oh, yeah. We'd be happy to see anybody, though, that would want to come and everything.
The more people, the better.
And just in case maybe you only attend that and we don't get the word out, it is going to be June 8th at the Magnolia Ballroom. Just wanted to get that out, too, because...
What time does it start?
It's going to be starting at 7.
7?
Yep.
Oh, my.
That's kind of
early. That's just... what's previously decided.
Eight. Are we gonna have a photographer there this year?
There should be.
King. And there's a little Hatch party favors that you get from party favors.
For the first certain amount of people who walk in the door, right. I think
typically
is what it
is. I think it's the first 100 get a keychain or something.
Yeah, we give out keychains, and I think it's only 100 that we have.
Yeah, so
you get there early.
The earlier, the better.
And there's always food. It's good food.
Oh, yeah. We have people who are restaurants who donate food for us. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
restaurants just around our area who want to help out. They'll give food donations.
Is there a DJ or a live band?
There should be a DJ.
Yeah, can you request music or is it already pre-chosen?
No, you can request. It depends on the DJ, really. It depends on what kind of a...
And we have certain songs that we're not allowed to play that I'm sure the DJ knows what we cannot play.
Mm-hmm. But you will hear songs, edgier songs at this prom that you will not hear at your high school prom.
Plus. Yeah. And I'm sure there'll be a large genre of music to play rather than one.
Exactly.
So they're a little loose on that particular
one. Last year, I mean, there was... we had some country, we had rap, just everything you could possibly think of.
We had a cocktail of music.
And then, you know, everyone was dancing, doing their own thing. We even did the chicken dance and the Macarena.
Hey, Macarena.
Oh, I think that's traditional to every prom.
Well, and sometimes it is.
Okay.
I don't remember doing any of that at the high school.
We've had youth that are breaking into the cross dressing or presenting themselves as a drag queen that will actually maybe do their first drag show or kind of ease into that, and then over the years really put together a really good show and have gone on to be competing in other drag shows, and actually some of our Hatch youth have won drag titles.
Yeah.
And they got their start really from the Hatch prom doing a drag show.
I know last year we didn't have a drag show, and I'm pretty sure this year we're also not having a drag show.
We might. There's a good chance that we won't, but we don't know officially yet.
Because of what's happened in the past, though, I don't know if we are.
And I think the deal about that, in the past we've had, sometimes there's been too much of the drag show.
Yeah.
And there'll be like five or six numbers throughout the prom. I think that's a little excessive. And I think that's just a matter of, you know, being really tight with the rules. And if you invite someone to do a drag show, then they need to know that that's going to be one or two numbers and that's it.
Yeah.
Now, we're not saying you can't come if you're like a youth and want to look like a woman or be in kind of a drag outfit. That's okay. We're just talking about performing things that might be for entertainment going on.
Right. But it is interesting that some of the well-known drag queens that you know now actually started at Hatch putting on the drag and presenting their show to the Hatch youth. They actually had their first steps in that direction through Hatch.
And that's really awesome. That Hatch could provide that for them.
Can women be drag queens too, or is it like specifically just
when it comes to women? When it comes to women, they're more of drag kings than drag queens.
But I want to dress up like a overly excited female.
No, you could do that.
I can. It's
yeah,
okay.
Absolutely.
And I can call myself a drag queen.
You can absolutely do that.
Yay!
What was that joke I told you that one day?
Dykes and drag.
I'm of the firm belief that you don't have to be a boy to be a drag queen.
That is true.
Yay!
I think you're right. Drag queen is about attitude.
I mean, I know a lot of trans women that will actually sit there and do the drag queen shows because they can do it good. And there's a lot of drag transgendered women that will do the drag king shows because at that time they know what it is to look, appear like a guy they spent a good amount of their life as. And it helps to know that.
I just like the big wigs and like the sparkly dresses and the I don't care.
That's
attitude.
Just some of the fairies.
Yeah.
Gotta
that's
get
right.
Snapping. I'm still
living
learning.
Proof
this.
That you don't have to be a girl to be a drag
that's
queen.
Right. That's
Dolly
right.
Parton.
I know lots of, I like, you know, lots of female drag queens. It's big hair, it's big, big over the top outfits and big jewelry and lots of attitude.
I'm halfway there then. Yay.
Got the attitude down.
If you're a straight man that likes to wear women's clothes for transvestite, if you're a gay man with a fashion sense for more than two genders, you're a drag queen. Tijuana Fuma, when I just had to say it, I'm sorry. One of the best movies. I just had to throw that in there.
It's a good movie. I do like it.
I actually can't wait for Hatch prom.
I think it's going to be awesome. But you're also going to a high school prom.
Yeah, tell us about that.
And you're going with a girl, which is a so how do you expect that to go?
Another high school prom. It'll be interesting because I only know, like, a handful of the people who are going to be there. So.
Which is good because then maybe.
So are you actually going as her date?
Yeah.
To this prom?
In a tux.
Yeah, I'm going in a tux as her date. Because she is my girlfriend, and she wants me to go, so I'm going. I've been out of high school for 2 years. 2 years ago, I went to my senior prom, so I guess... And to me, my prom wasn't that special. But to go, the way I see it is, if you're not going to go with the person you're involved with, you're just then it really takes away what the prom is.
Yeah.
Because to me, prom is for... High school prom is for the, you know, couples. Is what it's mainly for.
Right.
And so, since I went with just a friend, I really didn't enjoy myself as much as I could have.
Yeah.
So I want to give her this memory that, because prom's something you should remember if you go. And so giving her that memory will be good.
You know, one thing I've noticed over the years of doing this with Hatch is that as time has gone by, more and more high schools have been more accepting of same-sex dates to prom. And I can remember when I first started, and we would have this discussion about prom, which we do every year, there weren't as many high schools that were open to that.
Yeah.
And it's something that I think has really become more prevalent, which I think is great.
Yeah. Well, I had to fill out a paperwork because since I don't go to school or whatever, and it was a rule sheet, and it said, you know, girls come in formal dresses and guys in tuxes, and I go, when I was filling this out, I'm like, but I'm not going to wear a dress. No. Screw that. I don't do dresses. And our mom goes, if they don't let you in, we'll have a battle. So, because they have connections or something through the school, so... And I know I'm not going to be the only girl there in a tux, because someone else we're going with is also wearing a tux.
Mm-hmm.
So it works.
And I'll just spoil everything. If they don't let Amber in, I'll show up next year to go to their prom in a formal gown.
Now, so. That I don't think that they're very accepting of. I think they're more accepting of a girl dressing in a tux, but I still don't think they're very accepting of a guy dressing in a dress.
But I ain't a guy.
Really? Really?
Yeah, because half of our school, it seemed like, if they weren't out then, they came out later on in life. Really and truly. I've run into so many of them that I went to school with up here. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And we did fundraisers like Cinderfella and had a whole bunch of senior guys and junior guys.
Ah, but that's different.
Dressed up.
It's not like if you identify as trans.
That's different, though, because that's still making fun of, that's still the, you know, the funny sitcom shtick that the guy dresses like a girl. And
yes. And we did Powder Puff with the, you know, guy cheerleaders in actual cheerleading uniforms. But we also had a few guys, you know, would come to school on a regular basis in skirts or dresses.
Really?
Know. Yeah, and, you know, eye makeup, all decked out.
How it was during the freshman and sophomore year, we would have friends that, like, guys, they put on eyeliner and they wear the baggy pants that kind of look like dresses, and they would be shunned upon. And they're like, well, I'm sorry, you need to, you know, wear better pants or not so much dresses. You need to take the eyewear off. It's a distraction to the educational process. And well, they kept doing it, and we all kept fighting it. So in the end, them resisting to let us do what we want kind of caused the disruption. So they just kind of gave them a go.
That's
do whatever.
Protest. That's nonviolent protest.
Yeah, and sometimes I remember one of our friends went in a kilt.
Well, a kilt?
Eye makeup. Well, because of the fact it's skirty, it's a skirt, but actually it's a kilt.
Right.
You know, to them, it's a guy in a skirt.
Right.
You know, that's all they would focus on.
Right.
Cute. But he would wear the eye makeup and everything else, too.
So they let you guys wear the eye makeup now.
Mm-hmm.
Or they let guys wear the eye makeup.
Well, they can't exactly do anything
about it. It's kind of emo, and the mass of the school does wear the... But, I mean, they're also... There's kids that are wearing, like, shirts with blood all over it, with band names that are very gore and violent, and they're allowing that. I'm like, well, if he's allowed to wear, like, a severed head, why can't my friend wear a skirt?
Yeah. Well, how did the other kids respond to that?
Our school was very open. Like, even the rednecks were, you know... we joke around a little bit, but there wasn't very much hazing at our school that I ever saw. I mean, we were all social butterflies. Everyone got along with everybody for the most part.
And that's the other thing I've noticed. At least since I was a kid in high school, it seems like the youth today are very accepting of the whole GLBT questioning. Just seems to be a non-issue. Was that your experience?
Yes, for the most part.
I honestly have never really dealt with hate against GLBT. I hear horror stories about how, oh, well, these kids were teasing me because I'm a lesbian and my girlfriend's in the class. I'm like, I've never experienced that. I've never experienced hate. I've always thought that everybody loves GLBT community.
Were you out in high school?
I was very out. I was like, I am bisexual. Hear me roar. I am sexy. Mm-hmm. That's how I was.
I had to deal with jokes and stuff because I'm... you know, masculine, female, you know, always had to deal with the jokes. But just jokes, just a little bit of hazing, never any violence, though, never really anything bad. I never witnessed any of it, you know, except for maybe a few jokes here and there.
I mean, sometimes jokes can be fun-loving, kidding, and sometimes they can be harsh and mean.
Yeah,
but
and
they're also short.
I had more of a problem with...
you know, people joke about her
and then there's the short issue.
You know?
Yeah, I had... My height was more of a joke thing than anything else, but I had more of a problem with the adults than I did with the children.
Oh, now that I'm not surprised.
Yeah, especially the principals. Like, with our GSA, we had a hard time getting that started because... the adults, they'd be like, no, we're not going to announce... They'll announce any other club, but when it came to GSA, they wouldn't announce our meetings, they wouldn't announce anything. They would ignore us.
Right. Did they come around on that?
No, not while I was there.
Hmm.
But I really wasn't that involved in GSA. I had, especially my senior year, I had a lot of other things going on.
Right.
Junior year, I was involved in it, but that was, we only had it for one semester junior year because it took the entire first semester getting it started. So
I'm going to start at TSA, but then I'm not in school anymore, so it wouldn't really matter.
Well, explain it, what a TSA would be.
Transgender Straight Alliance. Just figure we got the Gay Straight Alliance, but there's not many TSAs going around.
Well, now how was it for you in high school?
I don't know. I wasn't out. But I do know of one transgender girl that did go to my school. And I remember she was going to wear a dress, which I find it ridiculous that we identify as the opposite gender. We should be allowed to express that. I could see that they get on to somebody as a joke, but if you've been going the whole year as this gender, they shouldn't tell you you have to wear a tux at prom.
Mm-hmm.
And I know this person who had their prom the year after I did, their junior prom, I didn't see the senior prom, they kind of fought with her, and they went to the school board with it, and that really disappointed me. And I still wasn't out. I didn't come out till this year. But at the same time, I was hoping she'd win because I knew her a little bit during school and everything. And it's just, it's ridiculous when you see that happens and everything. And then you do have all the adults making fun of the students. Like, I know one teacher would say, ugh, just every time she walked by. And I'm thinking, she's probably going, ugh, every time you walk by. Same deal.
Wow, did you guys get that from your teachers from your school?
I got after I came out, the teachers I had, I actually got along with pretty well. You know, but before I came out, I had a very bad anger problem and never got along with any of my teachers. Mm-hmm. But I had a high school counselor that knew, she knew everything about me pretty much. And so, you know, she helped me through a lot. And then there was also a cop on campus that helped me so much that year. And, you know, she got me out of a couple of tickets I deserved. But she said I reminded her of her niece, She was this huge dyke, and everyone knew it. Mm-hmm. And she could tell. Mm-hmm. Like, so I think she just, you know, was helping me out through that.
How did that feel? I mean, apparently she was going... It sounds like she was going out of her way to do something nice.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for her doing that. And, you know, it's kind of scary because I ran into her this past year. I went to a high school homecoming game. And she was working that night up there. And she's like, hey, you. I was like, uh-oh, what I do now? Because, you know... And she knew I was, that at the time I was in college, I had graduated A's and B's. You know, she knew everything about me academic-wise. And that was kind of scary for me. But at the same time, I guess it's not hard to get my records. It's not hard to keep up because my high school counselor already knew, you know. All she has to do is ask around. I'm sure she'd find out. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it makes me feel good that she actually still cares. So... But it was also kind of creepy.
I don't know. Like, the more popular teachers that I had, they weren't really hateful towards anything. It's just, you know, they would relate to the kids and they'd joke about something and be like, oh, stop being gay. And there was always at least one or two gay kids in each of my classes because our school was...
very open.
Had very many openly gay students.
The teacher would actually say that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, and all the kids would laugh it off. Ha 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 ha.
Especially Mr. V.
Yes. Oh. he was a funny guy. He taught a lot, but... shake my head. But at that time, during the GSA meetings, they'd be like, oh, well, teachers aren't supposed to joke like that. They should use other words. Blah,
that's
blah,
right.
Blah.
Yeah, that's right.
And I'm like, well, they're just trying to relate to the students.
And that was a common phrase then. Even I know I use that phrase all the time. I still kind of catch myself using it.
Well, so is ho. The young teachers going around calling other students hoes.
In my school, you
did. Really?
Our teachers were very vocal. And I guess because the kids did love them so much, and they took the time to get to know their students. You know, like, oh, hey, Michelle, how are you? How's your mother doing? I heard she was sick a couple weeks ago. Oh, yeah, she's doing a lot better. I gave her some chicken soup like you told me to. You know, a little situation there. Right. They get to know, mm-hmm. And in a sense, you're all comfortable with what
you say. With the teachers at our school, it was, because me and Michelle went to the same school, it was if you took the time to get to know the teacher would take the time to get to know you. But if you didn't take the time, they're not going to waste their time.
Yeah. Okay. And if they do use a term like, oh, you're being gay, they think that it's okay. But if you just took the time to say, hey, I'm not comfortable with that, most of the time they'd stop.
That's good. You know, I do that at work. When one of my coworkers say, oh, that's so gay, I say, oh, do you mean that as a compliment? Do you mean, you know, because, and I'm out at work. Everyone knows where I work that I'm gay. So mm-hmm. whenever someone says that, or even if it's, if I'm not in the conversation and they'll say, oh, that's so gay, then I'll make a comment about that or challenge them using that term in the way they're doing it. Because I think some people, if you're not gay, I just don't think it, you think about it.
Yeah.
You know? I, it's just something that just kind of comes out. And that's where I think those of us that are should point that out to the people we know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't want to... But before we go, which is coming, I would like to just introduce y'all real quick to a few more lines of information and help. We got the Hatch, the phone number, which is 713-529-3590. Then we got the Hatch Youth website, which is www.hatchyouth.org. And everything, which again lists programs and stuff, which, and everything. And then we also got the Gay and Lesbian Squid Sport Houston, which is 713-529-3211. And to finish off, we got the Hatch Prom again coming June 8th at the Magnolia Ballroom at 7 p.m. And be there, have a good time. Stairway to Heaven's the theme. You can pretty much come as you want. And right now at Hatch, we're doing a lot of stuff. I know mainly we're just having some educational fun night this Friday and everything. So come join, be part of the fun and everything. thanks for the day, and have a great Easter weekend. Holiday weekend. Thank you.
Good night.
Oh. All right. We'll pull our mics down as they throw everything to the ground. The title of the song sung to me. It just... figured since it's the holiday, we have to play something with that word in it. It's not as, it may not be as good as when on Friday they played Killing for Jesus here on KPFD. But Dudley Saunders, and the song is called Jesus Didn't Love Us Enough. And after that, we're coming back with the Bynet segment.
Keep trying to stand to the grind, but the sheets keep sucking him down. He looks so surprised, so wrap around his head and his feet, and they whisper, Maggie, when you come, the fella said, don't feel complete. His head just keeps bleeding into the gods. Is that a woman? Was he a man? He can't say what it was. On the road and on the beach, a cup and condom, someone tricking me to treat. Well, somebody else can run, somebody else can bleed. But it's just keeping the stories out of his head.
Sidley Saunders, Jesus Didn't Love Us Enough. That's one of those songs I think you're only going to hear right here on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org.
I just love Dudley Saunders. I love his music. I love his wording.
I still gotta listen to that one song that he has in there. I don't... There's no warning that we can't play that one.
Okay.
The love song for Jeffrey Dahmer.
Oh.
Ooh.
That's the one that, you know, last week I had, when Jimmy handed me this CD, and, you know, someone thought I was making an April Fool's joke with my Jeffrey Dahmer joke.
No.
It's not an April Fool's joke, people.
No.
Obviously, that person doesn't listen to the show enough to know that I am sarcastic.
Yes.
Evil.
Well.
Evil, wicked, mean, and nasty, and we like that in a person?
Yes. Well, it's time for Binet.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's past time for Binet, but, you know, this is kind of a free-form show. And we went over on our After Hours Quickie tonight with the folks from Arisa's, and which means that it pushed the Hat Show further back and the Binet Show further back, but we're here.
The Quickie was that good.
The Quickie was that good, okay. Yes, yes.
Yeah, it's another time again for the bisexual agenda.
Ta-da!
We're going to take over the world, or something like that. Yeah, with your hosts, I'm David, sometimes known as David Great Bear, and my partner in crime.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, got Mr. Jimmy here sitting in with us tonight.
Yeah, the lone faggot here.
Okay.
Amongst the buys.
Right, half bags here.
Yeah, and you know, sometimes I wonder how faggy I am, considering my history.
Okay.
In sexual adventures.
What's that? You kind of number one and number two on the Kinsey scale?
Well, no. Which one is more like a four or a five. Yeah.
Yeah, that went going the wrong way here.
More about probably about a five.
Yeah.
Which is kind of surprising to a lot of people, because I'm just, you know, I'm just the biggest fag in town to a lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
But I do have a history with having sex with women.
Okay. So you know what you speak of. You're in a position to make comparisons.
Yes. As one of the, we went to, Chris and I went to a queer hip-hop show last night. Huh? And one of the guys was talking about how he has not been in a vagina since he came out of one.
Okay. I hear people like you talking about. I keep wanting to say, you know, the joke about, you know, the rabbi and a priest were talking. Mm-hmm. The French line is, oh, yeah, better than pork, huh? maybe not, but that joke keeps running through my mind. And if anybody's never heard the joke, just go look it up on the internet. Don't want to take time to explain it.
There you go. I see you have a book in your hand.
Yes. I do have some fun tonight. Start talking about a book that I picked up at Barnes & Noble here not too long ago. So, you know, we talk about After Hours being queer radio with attitude. Well, this is a book about bisexuality with attitude.
Mm.
It's a book called The Bisexual's Guide to the Universe. Quips, tips, and lists for those who can go both ways. Authors
or who want to.
Yeah. So, two authors, Nicole Crystal and Mike Zemeski. And from what I've read about them, Mike Zemeski.
Mike S.
Yes. I'm supposed to have a Polish ancestry, so that's not showing tonight. His parent has been on, you know, an activist and done the various radio interviews and all. Mm-hmm. Whereas Nicole, apparently look at her biography. Currently, she's a singer-songwriter.
Oh, okay.
One of the things. And they're both bisexual and have both written a book on the subject of bisexuality. Like I said, with a definitely tongue-in-cheek, definitely with some attitude. But to me, it's actually otherwise a good book. Just gives an overview of this thing we call bisexuality, about what it is, what it's not, and, of course, what it is practically everything.
Yeah, it is.
And just, you know, kind of a guide to the subject. You know, there's various things in here about, you know, tests. You talk about the Kinsey scale, the Fritz Klein sexual orientation grid, some other things. There's all sorts of, I don't know, a chapter here, something about weird science. I guess about what bisexuality is and what it's not. And just, I mean, it's just a fun book. So what I was wanting to do, and I just kind of just got, you know, take a quick walk through it. I'll just share some things in here.
Sure.
As a way of promoting the book. Obviously,
sure.
You know, encourage people to go out and buy it, get more into details. And these folks do have a website. Let's see where they put it. Well, I need new glasses. And I've looked at it, and like some of the stuff on the website is in the book cover on the website also. Okay, where'd it go? Obviously, you know.
Well, while you're looking for that, it's been my unscientific outlook over the years, the many years I've been sexually active, that the Kinsey scale lists 0 to 6, 0 being absolutely heterosexual, and 6 being exclusively homosexual. And by that definition, you would think that there's a whole lot of zeros and a whole lot of fives and then some in the middle. But, yeah, you know, it's a 0 through 6 for a reason, because it's that shading from 0 to 6 where somebody who identifies as straight will have some gay leanings.
Right.
And so I think that there's very few people on the 0 end and very few people on the 6 end, and most of everybody is somewhere in the middle.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So bisexuals, there's probably more bisexuals than either straight or gay combined.
That's what I was thinking.
Absolutely. It's time to come out of the closet about it.
Yeah, really.
Well, we got to make it more permanent. Now, I'm very proud of the gays being more permanent with their situation, where it's more comfortable to come out being gay or lesbian. Now, just to see if we can get it where it'd be more comfortable for bisexuals to come out.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, they got movies.
There should be no reason that it isn't. But unfortunately, there are some states that still think kind of backward, and as far as bisexuality is concerned, there could be legal problems.
This thing about
especially if couples break up, they have children, and one of the couple comes out as a bisexual. That can be looked at unfavorably in some courts.
Yeah, a lot of times you have a lot of people coming out as gay, but a lot of times they're really not gay or lesbian. A lot of times they're just bisexual.
Right.
But because the thing is not well known, they just put themselves as being gay. I was checking out a show on Oprah Winfrey about 3 or 4 weeks ago or longer about that. People coming out the closet when they're married, and their couples basically, their spouses basically either divorce or they stay together or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't even mention that one word about bisexuality. It's like,
yeah, I know, that's ridiculous.
Bisexual.
Ridiculous.
You know, but I mean, that's the way that people talked and they're at and everything. It's when, because a lot of times you can tell when a person is gay. I mean, last I heard, most gay people, especially men that I know, including women, that with men, they would try to be women. You know, all their school years and stuff. I mean, they would, like, get with a woman, and she's beautiful, naked, whatever, and can't never go to the next stage because they can never get a hard-on.
Mm-hmm.
Because they just never could do it. And I had guys where they had women rub all on them and stuff, and nothing happened. Let there be a straight guy, flagpole. But that, right. I mean, so I was like, These people are straight. I mean, they are straight up gay. There's no doubt. They never had any desires to want to have any sexual intercourse or any desires to want to be with a woman.
Mm-hmm.
They might admire a woman's beauty and everything.
Sure.
But that's about as far as it goes when it comes to wanting to be with a woman or anything. And you got these guys that are married and had children.
Mm-hmm.
For you to be able to get a woman pregnant or anything, you gotta get hard on.
That's right.
I mean, you can't ejaculate unless you get a hard on, so, I mean, there's something there.
Well, I still identify as gay.
Right.
But I've always been sexually experimental, so... Yeah.
But at least you admit that there's something there, even though you categorize yourself, because you're mostly gay.
Yeah.
You know, the scale tips almost
and,
over.
And I will say that in my entire life, I have only been with one woman by herself. All my other bisexual experiences have been with couples.
Mm. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Which... Probably the guy was the reason that I was there.
Right.
But still, you know, it was fun playing with a woman.
Oh, okay.
I don't have that great desire for a woman, but sex is fun.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we got to get the bisexuality out there more. We got to talk about it. I mean, you... See talk shows at the talk shows talking about people come out of the closet, the down low, all this different stuff, and not one time the word is mentioned.
I know, and
I get so frustrated. I yell at the TV, it's like, "Will you dang it?"
Especially with men on the down low. I mean, that's the word for it, bisexuality, because when the guys on the down low usually have a wife or a girlfriend, and they play with men.
And the woman doesn't
it's
have
elementary.
A clue. The woman doesn't have a clue because they have a good time there. It's like if he was gay.
Mm-hmm.
Trust me, they wouldn't be having a good time there.
That's right.
It would suck. I mean, the guy would be lucky if he can even get any type of arousal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just how it is. Was straight up, and I heard with lesbians too. There's no desire. It's like. Thinking about being with guys like, ew, it's nasty. So, it's like, there's more bisexuality out there than people want to
admit.
And it's frustrating because it's more of it than it is gay and straight. I mean, I'm glad that the gays are out there and they need to.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, they need to be just as powerful with the bi stuff, too. It needs to be.
Yes, it does.
Just being honest, you know, open and honest.
Yeah.
I would say when I describe myself as bisexual, mm-hmm. I say my basic nature favors the straight side. I mean, my primary relationship is with a woman.
Mm-hmm.
But I have what I describe as an awareness of the homoerotic.
That's another part of the hierarchy that I wanted to talk about, because there's probably, as there's not that many zeros or sixes,
right.
There's probably not that many three and a halves either.
Right.
You know, someone who is exclusively bisexual and has no leanings, has equal leanings toward males or females.
Right.
Because most bisexuals have emotional ties more to one sex or the other.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But sexual desires for both.
Right. I mean, in normal everyday life,
mm-hmm.
if I say a man or a woman, I'm probably going to look at the woman.
Sure.
But I have that awareness that I could play with a man and enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
And there is something about the act. You know, the physical act that gets my attention.
Yeah.
And I think it has always gotten my attention. I mean, some of my first sexual experience was with a cousin of mine, a male cousin, who is gay. But I'm the one who started it. You know. But it's like, well, why wouldn't I be by them? Because I didn't know you could.
Yeah.
Somehow I just, like, picked up accept the message was one way or the other.
Mm-hmm. And for me, it's like I've been with women, like, one female I went was 4 years. And I mean, we didn't fool around with anybody else. It was just a monogamous relationship. And I've been with another one for about 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the same thing. Didn't fool around with other people. Didn't be with no man or no woman. And I mean, that was just straight up. We actually got wedding bands.
Wow.
And we wore them on our fingers. The significant relationship. I mean, I can have this same type of relationship with a woman that I do, like with David. Well, I could spend the rest of my life with that person if it's possible,
mm-hmm.
and never be with anybody else, or be open or whatever. But it would be strictly mostly with that person. Yeah.
Well, let me ask you something.
Because
mm-hmm. You're talking about when you're with women, most of the time it's a monogamous relationship.
Yeah, because most of the women I've been with, the first one she was straight up lesbian. Mm-hmm. She didn't have any desires to be with a man. That's the reason why I was monogamous with her, because I didn't want her to worry.
You're right.
Now, the other one, she was bisexual, too, but she was going to that stage where she didn't want to admit it at first.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, me and her, we would go to, like, strip clubs.
Uh-huh.
And, like, put money down some guys, you know what? You know, we would play with them and stuff. And a couple of times, they had little rooms upstairs where you can pay somebody personally.
Oh,
and
really?
Sit it out. And me and her, we had, like, a threesome going on up there with this guy with a nice dong. And, I mean, so I knew she was bisexual. I mean, she tells me the type of man. She actually had a certain type of man that she was attracted to. You know how everybody has a certain type. They like a lot of people, but there's a certain one that really gets their attention.
Yes.
You know, me, it's the real, like LL Cool J or something like that.
Mm.
You know, real nice bodybuilding, like you play football or something like that. Nice big guy. You know, and see, like that type.
Mm. So now you're with David.
Yeah,
I'm but
with
it's
David.
More of an open relationship.
It's very open. It could be polyamorous as we run into another couple that's
yeah.
similar.
Have you been with another woman since you've been with David?
Well, a little bit. Well, I remember Jess up in
ESA of the Gigi's Temple.
Yeah.
I mean, we made out, but we didn't go any further than that.
Okay.
But I mean.
But you know that.
That can happen.
It can happen.
And, you know,
so
they,
do you like that kind of relationship better than?
I like it because I can like. Because, you know, even I can be in a monogamous relationship as possible. I cannot be with anybody. I don't know. I'm not a. To me, sex, I love it. It's really good and everything, but it's not very important to me like it used to be.
Okay.
I can kind of put it on the back burner and put other things in front.
Darn.
I mean, basically, the tantra stuff that I learned back in the 90s, how to turn your sex on and off.
Yes.
You basically can turn it off where it's never in front. And,
you know, would you want to?
Well, I mean, I like it and stuff, but sometimes, you know, things come up and it's just nice to just be in the contempt stage.
Okay.
And Robin, I have this discussion every now and then. You know, I say, yeah, as a male, yeah, I can be an animal at times.
Yeah.
And want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I still want to be respectful of her as a person,
sure.
respect her boundaries. And quite frankly, it can be frustrating if I'm in the mood and she's not, and I'm you know grabbing at her. And it's like, I don't want to do this. I don't like feeling this way. It's like, hey, I need to just turn it off or turn it down for a little while and just set it aside and let's just, you know, watch TV or something. I don't know.
I mean, I'm the type of person.
But still be a turn it back on later.
Or masturbate.
Oh, yeah.
I'm the type of person that I can go. One time I went like years.
Without sex.
Because I learned how to basically where I can turn it all the way down. It's still there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like you turn it down, like you turn the volume down on the radio or whatever. And you just turn it all the way down where it's barely there. And other things come out in the front.
I can't even grasp that concept.
The only thing I haven't managed to control is my hunger. That'd be nice if I could not be hungry. Maybe I could take some of this weight off. So
right.
This life preserver here. But I mean, I used to turn my hunger off, too, back in high school.
Uh-huh.
I used to go days without eating. I mean, it's the same concept, but I mean, sex, it's like a electricity flow. You know, amps
and stuff? In a way.
Yeah, kind of like amps. You know how electricity flows? You can. Electricity is one of those things you can't turn it off. You know, but you can direct it, or you can make it low, or you can make it high. It's like I put an AC/DC strip up to myself. You know, I mean, it's just like it's the same concept. This is why I look at it.
Okay.
But it took me, how many, about 3 or 4 months for me to actually get it where I can turn it off and on. I mean, at first it was like, it's like trying to fast.
Yes.
And you're like, and your body's screaming for food, you know. But then after about a month, it starts to work its way down.
Mm.
You know, I didn't masturbate. What I did was, everybody believes in God or not, but at the time, you know, I asked God, okay, God, what I do with this, I can't control this. I don't like this running me. I want to run it. So what do I do? And God said, well, don't do anything. Just hold up. Make it where like you do a dog. You kind of put the dog on a leash, and you let him wear the leash for a while. He'll, like, pull on it, like a choke chain. He'll pull on it, for a while, and he'll yank on it, you know, keep doing that. And then finally he'll get the message, I don't pull on this. I won't show. And then you got it where you can actually take the chain off.
Sure.
And they will stay right there. They won't go anywhere.
Okay.
It's the same concept. What I did was I just put a choke chain on it and held it there for a while, you know, and just didn't masturbate, didn't do anything.
Wow.
I mean, there were times where I actually would have an orgasm in my sleep. It was like one is so bad.
I can understand
then
that.
Then finally one day it just went. Just started drilling on down, all the way down. Okay, got the message.
Okay.
And now it's like, okay, I learned, and then I got it where, okay, now when I want to have sex, I turn on.
Mm-hmm.
And when I don't want to have anything to do with sex, it goes down. And it's at a point where I have to make it cut on sometimes. Because it's so off.
Okay.
That I actually had to make it cut on. That's how used to it I got.
Well, let's get back to the book.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can hear what she's saying. It's like, you know, as a sexual man, yes, I want it. I want to enjoy it. At the same time, I can kind of get where she's coming from because there are times when I can be perfectly irritated with myself. It's like, yeah, I see it. I see that person. She's beautiful. He's beautiful. It's like, can we just... I got something else I want to go do right now. We'll come back later.
I mean, it's wonderful to be able to look at a guy and see the artistry of his beauty instead of just looking at his sex.
Mm.
I got where I can look at a naked man and see it's a work of art instead of the sex. I mean...
Every man to me is a work of art.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, but you know what I'm saying. I mean, everything is not tied to sex.
Yes. Yeah.
Getting back something earlier about the website these people have for their book. Okay, I did find that finally.
Oh, good.
So there's actually two websites. One is guidebi.com, www.guidebi.com, and they also have myspace.com/bisexualguide.
Oh.
So they got two places you can look their site up. And just to check a couple of things for the book.
Okay.
I said, I got a chapter where they talk about the Klein grid and Kinsey scale and all that. And they have what they call the Are You Bi test. We'll take a few sample questions here and ask people to answer. It's basically, you know, A, B, or C, or D, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The very first question is, have you had sex with both sexes?
Yes.
And you know, A, yes, B, no. C, I think I did, but I was drunk.
Oh, yes, a lot of men have done that little deal. Oh, I was so drunk last night,
that's
I don't remember a thing.
There's a category for that. Remember, I had some papers.
Somebody sent me an article a few months ago about... You know, the party bisexual.
Yeah.
Where
yes.
someone's bisexual A comes out when they've been drinking.
Yeah.
And some people say that shows that bisexual A is becoming acceptable. Other people say, no, they're drunk.
Well, you know how they say about when you drink, your ambition's drunk.
Yes, that's the whole idea.
Yeah.
That's the whole idea.
And but the thing of it is, everybody don't do that when they get drunk. So it makes you question.
And, you know, kind of a little confession myself. I don't drink.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been drunk.
Oh, my goodness.
So I hear somebody do that, I'm kind of wondering, was that tendency, well, of course, it can be any habit, was that tendency already there and getting the inhibitions came down, or is it just something the alcohol does or what? You know, I can't speak from personal experience.
Well, personal experience, I can say that everybody gets drunk, because I don't behave that way when I get drunk. When everybody gets drunk, some people would do it, and some people, they just flirt on women as their guy, whatever. Mm-hmm. So it might be something there, you never know.
Well, a little life's mysteries. Anyway, another question. Okay, it goes, question is, when you first heard the word bisexual, you, A, thought it was something you could ride, B, thought it was something really trendy and cool, or C, thought you could have sex only twice. Okay.
I don't think it's trendy, but it sure is cool.
Yes, okay. Number four here says AC/DC refers to alternating current, direct current, B, some who goes both ways, or C, a lame band from the 70s. Let's see, one more here.
Sounds like the bees have it, you know, in this test.
Let's see. Da-da-da-da-da. Okay. Okay, 11. What do you do about unwanted body hair? A, I wax every day. B, I shave only when I might get laid. C, I don't have any unwanted body hair.
Oh.
Sounds like those Native Americans again.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Number 13. Let's see. Okay. Heterosexuals are A, in denial. B, dull. C, conquests. D, all of the above. Or C, E, none of the above.
Heterosexuals or conquests.
Right.
Well, there have been a couple of those for me.
I mean, along that line, there's actually chapters in here talking about, you know, if you get a chance to date a straight guy or a bi guy or a straight woman or lesbian or whoever, you know, kind of things to do and don't do. There's a little chapter here, let's see if we can find it, about coming out. And this is from a, you know, bi perspective, but
yes.
I think, you know, gay people can understand that too. Let's see.
And that can be confusing, especially if the person is younger, not even necessarily younger, but to come out as, well, growing up, you only think of either straight or gay.
Right.
That's like the only two options. And if you are attracted to the opposite sex, but then you have these feelings for the same sex, that can be very confusing if you don't realize that bisexuality is an option.
Right. Oh, God, I've been through that.
Yeah.
I mean, I had to go through that a long time.
Well, I'm attracted to, you know, the opposite. I'm attracted to the same sex, so I must be a homosexual.
Right.
But not necessarily.
I mean, it's the time I thought I was a lesbian for a while, but then I thought, I'm still transgender, though.
What it reminds me, though, is... You know, like I said, I you know, favor the straight side of kind of how I am, but there's always been sort of a awareness. It's like you know, hearing something about homosexuality, I was like, what's that? You know, I actually had to go look up I literally went and looked the word up in the encyclopedia.
Oh my goodness.
You know, it's like, oh, that's what it is. And the definition of that particular encyclopedia was sort of negative, and it's like, okay, I just bought into it.
No.
I mean, I'm reading some book about how boys might experiment, but then they eventually settle down to be straight, or something like that.
Oh, goodness.
And so, like, my thinking is, had I had gotten different information then, I would have done something different.
Okay.
So, anyway, back to the book. Going to read a few of these things. Got a little chapter here about coming out to your radical right dad.
Oh.
Okay, these
are
do's and don'ts.
Yeah.
Okay, do consider not telling him at all.
Yeah, that's a good consideration.
Let's see. Don't tell him when he's watching his favorite minister on Praise the Lord.
Whoa, yeah.
Do stand at a safe distance when you utter any word or phrase containing sexual.
Stand back. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Don't breathe a word while he's cleaning his gun, holding power tools, or sharpening a kitchen knife.
There you go.
All right.
Just common sense.
Let's see. I do have a PFLAG brochure handy.
Yes. Very important.
And don't be surprised if he asks you to change your mind. Okay. So, coming out to your conservative mom.
Ooh.
Yeah. Do you use television to your advantage and tell her after she has watched her favorite talk show, Ellen?
Oh, yeah, that would be good.
Yeah, don't let her think your upbringing was to blame, or the media, or your gym teacher.
Oh, crap, I can't use that.
Let's see. Do remind her that you got your jeans from her. They're Levi's.
Ooh.
Okay, let's see a couple more here. Do mention that Leviticus, aside from condemning homosexuality, also supports the notion of selling women into slavery. Let's see. Okay, now, let's see. Don't let her mention hell or your name in the same sentence. Okay. Now, the next one here, this is one I like. Coming out to your hippie mom.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
This ought to be fun.
Right. Now, do tell her anytime, any place, any day. Don't expect her to be surprised. Do tell her this isn't an open invitation to discuss her love life.
Yes, please. Right. I don't want to know.
And don't be surprised if she tells you about her sex life anyway.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, let's see.
That would be me.
Yeah, do resist giving her details about your sexual exploits. And don't be so shocked when she tries to live vicariously through you.
Mm.
Okay, here's a good one. Do accept the fine pot that she gives you to celebrate.
There you go.
And don't whine when she complains that your generation just can't roll a decent joint. Okay, let's see. Up here. Okay, where to go? Some things here about can you tell who's bi and who's not. Let's see. Keep talking.
Well, usually, you know, when I grope a guy and he gets an erection, that's kind of, that's a tip off for me.
Right.
And I grope as many men as possible.
You're right. I've noticed.
I was saying about how the difference between when I date a man and a woman.
Yeah.
There's a lot of times with a woman, it's not as much a sex, it's more of an emotional connection.
Sure.
Where it's more intimacy, where we understand each other.
Mm-hmm.
And with a man, it's more like a companionship, friendship, and sex.
And lots of sex,
yeah.
Yes.
Because, you know, guys, they like to have lots of sex.
Oh, yes, we do. Yes, we do. And also, we like various kinds of sex, and we like sex with different people. Mm-hmm. And, yeah.
A woman is more personal. She's not going to want to be in a group sex or...
For the most part.
Most women, anyway. Not, some of them do, but not. Most of them don't.
I've met quite a few women who do like a group sex scene. And
now, me, I like group sex. It's like
those women are very popular.
I like group sex. It's like, why aren't they going to open up a Midtown for women?
Yeah. Boy, I can't.
First in line.
You are not the first woman who has.
Who
has
was it, Jewel?
Jewel was the
I
one.
I heard that broadcast.
Yes.
I was like, go.
Yeah.
I'm like,
go
good
start
for you,
one.
Girl.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, I found it.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, it says your telltale signs your straight female friend is bi.
Okay.
Okay. Let's see. And she, okay, it goes, first one is she gives too many hello and goodbye hugs to her female friends and tries to squeeze a goodbye kiss on the lips.
Ooh.
She always tells you how cute you look.
Oh.
She tags along with you and your bi lesbian friends to gay bars and gay movies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's see. Let's see. She dresses butch one day and femme the next.
Okay.
She wears only masculine shoes. Okay, one more. She holds on to old issues of Victoria's Secret catalogs for the articles.
Sure.
And then challenges you when you say, what articles?
Yeah.
That's a telltale sign your lesbian friend is bi.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's see. Okay. She hits on your boyfriend because she thinks she can get away with it. Okay, somebody had to confirm this one. She tells you that lesbians having sex with gay men is the new thing. Okay. And so she rides one too many gay men's hips while at the club.
Uh-huh.
Mm. So she has condoms on her bedside table for when she runs out of latex gloves.
Sure.
Uh-huh. And see, one more. She reads men's health for the workout tips.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Let's see.
Yeah, just like I do.
Right. Okay, telltale signs your straight male friend is bi.
Okay. This is the one I like.
Okay. He loves to wrestle with dudes, but only when he's drunk.
Uh-huh.
Hmm? Okay, let's see. See, he actually follows the advice on the queer eye for the straight guy.
Yeah.
He says he wouldn't mind a camping buddy like Ennis in Brokeback Mountain.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see.
Bottom boy, too, right. Huh?
He isn't awkward in hugging other guys. So.
Hmm.
He obsesses where guys really do get better head than women.
No. Well, let me show you.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I had met a sheriff deputy that said that a guy gave him a head, and he said, shoot, he does that much better than women do.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, and then he likes to go He likes
because we've done it a lot more.
Mm-hmm. He likes to go to
and we really like doing it.
This male strip club. Can't think of the name of it right now. He likes to go
like
there.
Chippendales like, or something? Like
not
that?
Chippendales. It's for African Americans. I can't think of the name of it.
Okay.
I go, are you sure you're straight?
Well, mostly straight.
But it's very vain, too. It's bodybuilding type. He's like, okay.
Okay.
Okay. So go on.
Definitely a man on the down low.
Mm-hmm.
Go on, read a couple more on the last category here.
Yeah.
Telltale signs your gay male friend is bi. Okay.
Okay.
He wears white socks, always. Yeah.
Always.
Okay.
Always.
All right. Let's see. He's never seen a musical.
Okay. Oh, I can't say that.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. He watches Jeff Stryker pornos for the acting.
That's funny.
Okay.
Sure as hell ain't for the dialogue.
No. That boy can't act at
God.
All.
It's like somebody
let's
give
see.
Pee-wee Herman a cameo once.
Let's see. He can say vagina like it's not a yucky word.
I can do that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, he says, let's see. And one more. He insists he has never measured his penis.
I have measured my penis.
Okay. So I've measured mine.
Yes.
Okay. And let's see, one more thing out here, and we'll move on to something else. Again, here a few months ago, we did a little segment on bisexual movies or bisexual movies or bisexual themes. It's like, they got a whole big chapter in this book on that subject, movies, actors, actresses, other things. Okay, where'd it go? Just had it. You got a thing here on bisexual cartoon characters.
Ooh.
Okay.
Oh, God, Lucy.
Yeah.
Lucy from Charlie Brown.
Okay. Well, one of the characters here is, they claim is bi, is Peppermint Patty.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
It says here, the butch gal on Charles Schultz's peanut strip likes Charlie Brown, but geeky Marcy has a crush on her.
Oh, absolutely.
Let's
yes.
See. They include Bugs Bunny.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think Bugs Bunny is more of a drag queen or transgender.
Right.
Yeah. However.
Yes.
I can see him slurping on Elmer Fudd.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He likes
let's
that
see.
Girl that gun.
Okay. They include here Rocky the Squirrel.
Rocky.
Yeah, it says here, it's quite unclear if the flying squirrel of Rocky and Bullwinkle fame is a boy or a girl, but his character seems to be attracted to bad guys, Boris and Natasha, at times, as well as characters, let's see, turn the page, characters of all species. The bigger, brawnier, and dumber Bullwinkle is undoubtedly the bottom in this relationship.
Oh, absolutely. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The here's here, the Green Lantern.
The Green Lantern.
Oh,
yes.
This shady disguised hero is penned by the openly bi cartoonist Bob Schreck, who's on the record as wanting to create a comic book character who reflects his own sexuality and is introducing that into the storyline. But wearing a green suit at all times? Gosh, even a bisexual would shrink at that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's kind of tight, too.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, of course, SpongeBob.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah,
SpongeBob.
Most definitely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The Scarecrow and the Wizard of Oz.
Really? Let's
see. Right, he has a line where he talks about where some people go one way and other people go the other way.
Yes. Some people go both ways.
Right.
Yeah. That's right.
Okay.
Gigi pointed that out years ago. I'd forgotten.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so, plains here, Popeye the Sailor Man.
Oh, because he loves that physical contact with
right.
Brutus.
Never truly interested in olive oil, even after being at sea with other sailors for so long. Popeye seems much more interested in roughhousing with Pluto and hanging out with his friend Wimpy. Besides, he's always insisting, I am what I am.
That's right. That's right.
Alrighty.
Very good.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I like that.
Yeah. So I mean, the whole book is just fun to read.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, there's a definite attitude within the book. But at the same time, there's definitely, like I said, be some useful information. The two authors take time, talk about their own experiences.
He says they make Mike Tyson jokes because he talks like he could be
Well, I'm sorry it's turned cold because I really wanted to do nude radio tonight.
Yeah, still can. Oh. Not that cold. I mean, if I just need to watch the time so we don't go over. Good. The other thing we're going to do tonight, this I came from, so yes, you had Jimmy last month.
Mm-hmm.
Me and Robin have over her relationship collected some what used to be called miracle aids.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh.
And we brought some. Can you show me how they're used?
Yeah. I will say to people, you'll just have to use your imagination.
No, we'll describe it.
Right. Of course, no, we're not really going to do nude radio. We're actually in here wearing formal evening wear tonight.
Oh, absolutely, you know, yes. So, yes, I've got on a ball gown.
Right, I'll make sure my tiara is on straight. Robin will adjust her tux and tails.
Yes. Now, Robin has an interesting contraption there. It's it looks like a dildo with, actually it looks like a cactus, you know, with one arm, short arm coming out of the side of it.
Basically, they have a contraction you find at the porno stores called a bunny rabbit.
Uh-huh.
Unfortunately, I couldn't manage to get the bunny rabbit, but I have managed to get the dolphin. It's almost as good as a bunny rabbit. Basically, it's a long, shaped like a penis.
Mm-hmm.
And what's so interesting about it is the penis part of this thing.
It vibrates. Ooh.
It goes around, like, kind of circulates.
Yeah.
And then you have the beads below the circulating penis head.
Ooh, that's
that
nice.
That rises up against the female's G-spot.
Uh-huh.
And then, the outside,
you've got this vibrating tip.
This actually goes over the clitoris, and it vibrates.
Ooh.
Personally, I'm jealous.
Yeah.
So you get this,
I got a competitor.
Extremely large, giant orgasm.
Actually, I'm kind of jealous in that I don't have the anatomy that could actually enjoy that. Yes, I know where I could put it, but somehow it's not the same.
Not the same,
and this
no.
is really cool because you...
Has it gotten you off?
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, good.
Actually, what's so cool about this, you can make it go faster. You know, to my brain part, or you can make it go slower. You turn it all the way off completely. Then you got the part where you can make this go faster.
Wow. Wow.
Or you can go slower. You know, type thing.
Yeah,
you know?
I see. Ah, sweet mystery of life.
Right.
That's a beauty.
Yeah.
And let me see. What else we have here?
So, what do you have?
Where is it? Okay, here. There we go. Yep. Up.
Okay. Wow, that is a big old kind of purplish...
dong.
Yeah, and it looks like it's about 10 inches long.
Could be.
I think it's about almost 10 inches.
And let's see, pretty big around,
right.
too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I like it because it has that
little... Oh, and it's very flexible.
Oh, yeah.
Very
I like
flexible.
It it
I've had that in some intimate places.
Oh, I see, because it has this the vein running
right.
underneath.
Uh-huh.
It's sculpted just like a penis. With
actually,
a,
I think it's been molded from a real person.
It may have been. Yeah, it's quite,
I mean,
yeah.
you can actually see the skin
yes.
where it's...
Yes. Oh, my.
Yeah, here. It does turn a little enough.
Let's see. You wore the batteries out? Oh, no. No, it is vibrating.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Let me feel it as it's vibrating.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
You know how I love to feel these things.
Right. I mean, to me, it's almost as big as, you know,
it's
Luke
pretty
Skywalker,
big.
You know,
I tell you
Luke
one
Skywalker's
thing, you
lightsaber.
Yes. Yes, just
come
about.
Join the dark side.
Come, Princess Leia, and feel
it's
the power kind of the dark. The dark side.
Basically.
Yeah, okay.
Basically, this can go up far enough to hit the prostate and vibrate.
Oh, yes, it can.
Right.
Oh, yes, it can.
Going there.
Mm-hmm. And?
That prostate isn't that far up in there. You can feel
you can
it with the finger.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Like,
mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
The good news, it is waterproof, because when I play these things, I like doing the shower, because, you know, working in traffic, it can get a little messy.
Yeah.
So it helps keep everything clean.
Cool.
So, and...
What have you... you
well,
have
this thing
else?
Here...
Ooh, what is that? That is...
It's some lips.
That is kind of... It looks like an egg cup made out of a flexible rubber.
Basically, these are lips.
Oh.
And you can hook it... David has a vibrator with the long...
Yeah, oh, I see.
You stick it on there, and you can basically put it on your head.
The head of your penis, and it kind of vibrates.
Right.
Ooh.
Now, I have tried it once myself. Didn't really do that much for me personally, but it's got to be it might work fine.
Especially, I bet more it will affect more of our uncircumcised friends.
Could be.
Yeah, because the head of their penis would be
very
a lot more sensitive.
Right.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Okay, David, you got anything you want to
show? Now, this thing I brought here once before. I think you've seen that. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
This is a reversible harness with rubber cock ring.
Right.
Have I seen it on you?
Yes.
Oh.
I got the picture to prove it.
Did you email him the picture, Steve?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Yes.
Mm. Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. I know I should never run for political office.
Oh, no. Those are for my eyes only.
Okay. We got this gadget here.
This
now,
thing
what
here,
is this? This is.
I didn't put any berries in this.
It's purple, and it's about 4 inches long with two ends coming straight up and a hole in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, what this does is, let me see that.
Yeah, here's
so it looks like you put your penis in through one end of it.
Yeah, through there.
And then the other
goes down the base.
Then the other end is a stimulator for the vagina and one for her anus.
Yes.
What's so I find strange is I like to turn this around, let this one go in the anus.
Oh, okay.
The pointy end.
The pointy one.
And I like for this one to hit the clitoris.
Oh, okay.
For me, it feels better, but I think it's supposed to be turned around.
Yeah, right. It's right the other way, but hey, whatever.
Hey, yes, it's exactly.
I didn't put any batteries in this one, but this one vibrates, too.
Probably wore them out.
Yeah.
And what's so cool about this,
mm-hmm.
I had David wear this to an intercourse, and then he made his whole penis vibrate.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
So it
that
was
like fun.
Multiple orgasms.
Mm-hmm. A couple of other toys here. Describes the family jewels.
Yes.
A napkin holder, supposedly.
It's a stainless steel cock ring.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't know, what, 2 inches in diameter?
Yeah, it fits me. It can be just a little bit of a tight fit. I don't want to wear it too long. But I have this group, I go to sort of gay men's nudist group occasionally.
Yes.
You know, get naked, but then I'll put on a little medallion I have and a couple of bracelets on each wrist, and I'll put this thing on
around
the scrotum, and I'm dressed for the
evening.
Is
this the Lone Star nudist group?
Yeah. Now, look at this ring. I imagine you'd probably go to a hardware store and get all the sex toys at Home Depot or someplace.
Make you wonder why the people at the Root Core get all A-hard.
Yeah.
Of course,
and now this other one, it's stretchy.
It's a rubber version.
Oh, okay. Because it's very stretchy because it doesn't look like you could fit anything in it.
By the way, occasionally I'll put one of these on.
Uh-huh.
I'm quite happy to say I really don't need it. But the idea is kind of it doesn't stop the blood flow, but it kind of restricts it a little bit. So
when
you get an erection, it kind of helps maintain it.
Yes.
And, of course, more blood goes in, can't get out as quick, so the erection can be kind of harder.
Yeah.
Again, the downside may be simply you leave it on too long, can start getting a little numb.
I bet.
Have a purple dick.
Right.
Now,
well, this thing here is just a simple, elongated.
It's a shaft, perfectly. Oh, it's a vibrator, but it's perfectly smooth.
Mm-hmm. And it's solid.
Oh. Yeah, it's not flexible at all.
But, I mean, I had ran this up, David.
Uh-huh.
And I got it all the way up to here.
Uh-huh.
He just sat there and just moaned and groaned.
Oh, really?
It was by
he really liked that one.
His prostate, and it...
Toys like that, I would say, my experience with them is it's not so much stimulating, it's somehow just relaxing.
Ah.
And that feels
okay.
Good.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
Okay. This should.
Let's see. One more thing here, kind of a tool came up with.
Coconut oil.
Yeah. Looks like
coconut oil.
That's perfect
for
lube.
Pure extra virgin coconut oil. I've never seen it.
Yeah.
See, coconut oil is basically you can eat it.
Of course.
Really cool. Yeah.
But what's so good about it is mostly lubes. Then it dry out after a while and it gets sticky. Mm-hmm. And when you get finished with your fun, what you're doing, you got to go clean yourself off because it's sticky. This stuff here, is you can leave it on.
It's good for your skin.
It's good for your skin. Oh. It's not sticky and okay. It hardly ever wears off. It hardly ever wears off.
Reggie found out about that here a few years ago, participating in one of these body electric classes. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're using in the class as a massage oil. Okay. The idea is it doesn't dry off quite so quickly. And like I said, the skin will absorb it and it's good for you.
It's called Nature's Way.
Yeah, that's
particular. This particular one's by Nature's Way. Right. Also says good for cooking.
Yes.
And you can eat it. It's good for other health reasons.
Sure.
To eat it straight up.
And there's several other brands. I got that at the Whole Foods.
Oh,
that's
okay.
That's really about the only place I've ever found it, though.
I don't know if it's safe to use it on a condom.
Yeah.
But I know it's good for sex toys or you're having sex.
Oh, you know.
One time I tried rubbing some on a condom just to see what would happen and didn't seem to have any effect. But it's where you just leave it on there. So I won't swear it's condom safe, but it might be worth a try. You know,
because I know you can't use KY jelly on
condom.
Okay. Oh, that's interesting. Okay, I never thought about that before. Always, it's always nice to know about different things you can use it for lube that are successful and that's kind of nice, the coconut oil,
like
you said,
too,
because it's natural, you can leave it on.
Yeah. I like it because you can put it down there and it doesn't burn like other things would do, you know. It's like the regular, like the lube you buy from the drugstore or whatever, it doesn't burn down there either. That's why they make it the way it is. But that's one of the things you can use. You can put on the woman's vagina,
most people,
and it won't irritate it.
Most people can use coconut oil on their skin. I don't think there's that many people that are allergic to it.
Right.
Because the coconut oil is almost the main ingredient in most sunblocks.
Uh-huh. Right.
So, good idea.
Uh-huh.
Wonderful idea.
All right.
Well, gang,
we're
about ready to wrap it up.
I wanted to say was this subject that we've been talking about the book.
Yes.
Unisex toys.
The book being The Bisexual's Guide to the Universe.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're thinking we're going to carry this conversation on at the third Thursday of the month. We have bi-meeting night.
And
we can come
get that plug
at the Harvard Cafe in between, it's off of Richmond, in between Kirby and Shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the Hobbit. It's a restaurant that's themed by the Lord of the Rings thing. They have really good buffalo burgers there, and they have enchilada dinner. Yeah.
It's a little hard to find because it's not right on Richmond.
Yeah.
You kind of have to go through a parking lot.
What you do is you just look for these little houses, and you see a sign jetting out.
There's a sign there now?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
But
it's easier to go over. I think it's Portsmouth, I think it is. It's the next street over.
The next street over.
So, it's easier to get it.
And then go the back way. But, I mean, basically, we meet up there every third Thursday.
Around
7:30 at night. So 7:30 to whenever we wrap up or whenever the place closes or whatever.
You still meet in the room in the back?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay.
And you just basically tell the multitude at the front that buying that, and then that's how you go straight to the back. It just goes straight to the back when you walk in.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, anybody's invited. Anybody can show up. Anybody's, you know, willing to talk about their issues with bisexual. Even if you're not, you can come and join us. And the subject that we've been talking about tonight is going to carry on to that.
Good.
Well, if we ain't talk about book, I don't think we'll be demonstrating the toys out there in a public restaurant.
Damn.
But yeah, we can talk about the toys, but maybe not as openly as
right
here, because this is radio. You can't really see anything.
But we can describe it to you, and you
can
use your imagination.
Right.
Imagine what that looks like.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
So,
is there still movie night?
Yeah, that's on the first Saturday. We just came from that.
Oh, agency, okay.
So just remember, movie night is the first Saturday of the month. So you can go there and see a good movie with a bisexual thing.
And that's at the community center.
Yeah.
I mean, tonight they had The Doors.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a lot of people speculating. I'm not speculating. I know this guy was bisexual. He was hot.
Jim Morrison.
But I mean, the movie itself did not show anything that is bisexual, but you
imagine
know
that.
It's kind of like Prince, you know. People know he's bisexual, but nobody's going to say anything about it. It's like it's the obvious.
Not yet.
But some movies, it's have bisexual things in it. They have sex scenes in it, whatever. Then some movies, like Virginia Woolf, like they had a movie about Virginia Woolf where they didn't have anything bisexual in it, but you know
about her. Yeah. And like the Kinsey, and you know, we show movies like Kinsey, right. Alexandra, and stuff
have,
like that. You know,
and it's also have potluck dinner.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and Pagel mostly cooks most of the food, so she's a damn good cook.
Ooh, yes she is.
And she usually uses natural stuff. She's a whole foods person, so.
Well, we're getting really close to the end of the show.
Close to the end, so let's wrap it up.
I know that. I see Chris over there looking up the promos to play in about 30 seconds. You've been listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, right here on KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM. And this has been the bisexual segment.
All righty.
With David Great Bear.
And Robin.
And Robin. You have a website?
Don't have a website, but do have an email address. Okay. If anybody wants to contact us, ask questions.
Sure.
Say hello. It's, the address is BiAgenda, BiAgenda, at peoplepc.com.
BiAgenda at peoplepc.com.
Right. And, of course, the Binet Houston does have a Yahoo group, so we can contact her that way, too.
Yes.
This is www.binethouston, I think.
Yeah.
Jimmy, apparently we are the only ones who believe that it's still this is the first Saturday.
Oh.
Because Laura Palooza is here.
Oh. Okay. Weird. Yeah.
No, Sunday is the first.
Sunday.
Okay.
Sunday.
I don't know. I don't care. I'm just going to push the buttons.
Please do.
So I push this button
next. We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
See you later. Bye.
Hi, I'm Rick Mitchell, and I'd like to invite you to explore a world of entertainment April 21st through April 29th at the Houston International Festival, spotlighting China. KPFT is proud to sponsor the World Music Stage with international superstars including George Clinton, Angelique Kidjo, the Jazz Crusaders, Lucinda Williams, and more. Get early bird $8 tickets until April 18th at any Houston area HEB, online at ifest.org, or at the gate for $13. From downtown to the Houston International Festival, supported by KPFT.
I'll be fine. Besides, I'd rather go home and do something before I go to bed.
My name's Laura, the host of Laura Palooza, and I invite you to listen to KPFT 90.1 on the second and fourth Sunday mornings from 4 to 6. Laura Palooza is a name that comes from the word Lollapalooza, which means something outstanding and unusual. It's a music program that includes roots rock, contemporary folk, and blues, and other types of music, but it's always an eclectic mix with a message or that tells a story about people. Listeners keep telling me they're glad they discovered the program. You can, too. That's Laura Palooza on the second and fourth Sunday mornings from 4 to 6, right here at 90.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.